Boom, 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 boom.
Are we live?
Boom. Beautiful. We don't need no fucking stinking music. We don't need it, man.
We got us.
We got us.
Yeah.
We were just discussing referees letting guys get choked unconscious.
Mm-hmm. Someone needs to educate that dude from this previous weekend.
Yeah, I think some guys have never been choked out. I think that's one thing. Even if you you don't have a martial arts background, you can be a referee. You're aware of that, right?
You can be.
Yes, you could be a referee. Hmm. All you have to do is understand what's going on. You take, like, referee classes and you learn. You could start out taking referee classes as a complete, total novice.
I think as a ref, you should have at least been choked out once and been knocked out once. I mean, Herb Dean had a pro fight, I think, once.
Oh, he had several pro fights.
Yeah, he had a couple.
Yeah, and Herb Dean rolls all the time. Herb Dean's a real martial artist.
So is Mario
Yamasaki. He's a black belt.
Yeah.
So is John McCarthy. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Yep.
All those guys that we think. So is Josh, who's in jail right now.
Mm-hmm.
Josh is out.
Pretty sure he's out.
Yeah, he is.
Josh is a very high-level brown belt.
Yeah. He knows his shit. If you're a one-stripe white belt, you know what the hell's going on.
A little bit.
What are you doing?
A little bit.
Especially on a rear naked choke.
Yeah.
It's not like it was a darce or something kind of hidden you can't see.
Well, he was face up, too. It was a rear naked face up. So it wasn't like, you know, like sometimes guys get choked out and the guy's on top of them and they have their back and they got him belly down and you can't see the guy's face. But when the guy's face up and you're looking at his eyes behind his head.
Yeah. I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah. He was out for a couple seconds. You know, sometimes people just don't make good decisions. You know, they error. It's not that they're bad people. It's just it doesn't work. And in that case, look, if I fuck up, it's not good because a bunch of people are listening. They want the show to be smooth and entertaining. But if I fuck up, it's not that big a deal. No one's getting hurt.
Right.
If this guy fucks up, someone's going to get choked to sleep. You know, that wouldn't get choked to sleep, or someone's going to get beaten a few extra times.
Which can make a huge difference.
The beatings, for sure.
I mean, well, good thing it was in a joint manipulation submission, because then you're talking about someone's arm being broken instead of just getting choked out.
Well, in that situation, though, don't you let the guy fight out of it? Like, I let a guy fight out of a full arm bar, because the way I would feel is that if his arm pops, that's on him. And guys have gotten their arms popped and won fights before. John Jones got his fucking arm popped against Vitor.
True.
If you watch
that, really?
Yes, he did. Yeah. Fuck yeah, he did.
That was indeed.
He got his arm completely hyperextended.
Yeah, by then Vitor had his whole body.
Popped. Mm-hmm. Dude, it was bad. There's probably if we play the video, they'll probably do it. There might be a picture of it. You can find an image of it. But at full extension, it was completely hyperextended the other way. And John's elbow was fucked up for a long time after that, because I remember he had to coach the Ultimate Fighter, and like that's one of the things they said, like, well, this is good anyway because he can't really train right now because his elbow's fucked up from the Vitor fight. So he wouldn't tap.
It's probably the closest he's been to losing, huh?
Pretty,
besides the decision
that was
Alexander,
the
but that's definitely the closest. Yeah, most trouble he's been in.
For sure. That was a bad spot. Vitor's nasty, dude. You know, a lot of people are taking him for granted versus Weidman because the whole TRT thing. I don't fucking buy it, man. I don't buy it.
He looks good in his pictures.
He looks way better than he used to.
Yeah.
Like, there was a period after he got off TRT where he deflated.
When we saw him at those weigh-ins, he looked like a straight welterweight.
Yeah, but he looks a lot thicker now.
Yeah, he looks way better.
So I know he's been doing a lot of they say that the way you have to jumpstart your system, one of the big ways, you do a lot of compound exercises, like cleans and presses.
Because it forces your body to produce testosterone. And estrogen.
No.
Testosterone, yeah.
Yeah, big things. Like, he was doing Zercher squats, which is where, you know, you like, it's almost like you do, you put your hands together, like you're, and make your arms like you're curling. Mm-hmm. You put the bar, you hang it from your arms, and you do your squats like that.
You're tough, man, on your core?
Yes.
Very you've hard. Done them.
Yeah, it's I do them too.
So he's doing all that kind of crazy shit.
I don't.
So, you know, I'm hoping this is how it, this is one.
But this gives you an idea how
here.
Strong Jones is. He's just so weird strong.
He's ridiculously strong.
Right.
But Vitor caught it at a perfect spot. You know, he might have been able to win the fight if he didn't let up on it, but I think he let up on it when it popped.
Look
and hyperextended.
He
said he let up on it, and I believe him.
And then he got
it's
submitted.
Kind of instinctive. Yep, he got Kimura'd. John Kimura'd him. I mean, after his arm got all fucked up. So his right arm's all blown out, and he still uses it to Kimura him later on in the fight.
So crazy.
And then he's fucked up for a while after that fight. That was one of the reasons why he coached the Ultimate Fighter. Right there.
Well, right. Chael said Chael. He just wasn't training. Like, he'd walk by him. Chael would be training twice a day, all full of sweat, and John would walk by crisp as clean, just nice and showered. And he's like, when is he training? Maybe he wasn't.
He wasn't.
Yeah. He wasn't, yeah. Chael said that's when he realized that he's just not as good as John.
He said he got in there. Yeah, he said 30 seconds in, he goes, I wanted to get out of that ring so fast. He goes, I just couldn't believe how strong he was.
Yeah, John Jones is no goddamn joke. No. Now, think about him, and then think about what Anthony Rumble Johnson versus him is going to be like. Like, that's going to be the most chaotic goddamn fight.
Insane.
That's my number one fight all time.
Really?
All time?
Yep.
Dang.
Yep.
That really escalated.
You think, why? Because he's got such knockout power, and if John makes a mistake?
Uh-huh. And because I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about all the great matchups. Like, there's been some great matchups, you know, for sure. BJ Penn versus George St. Pierre when it first happened. Mm-hmm. Like, goddamn, that was a big build up, big matchup. Chuck Liddell versus Tito. But those, I had a pretty good sense of what was going to happen. I had a pretty good sense
because they trained
GSP
together
was too big. Yeah. I think GSP was too big. He was too hot. His wrestling was too good. And I knew that BJ just didn't. That was before the Marinoviches. He didn't have that work ethic that he had. True. Like, for a very short period of time when BJ was in just insane shape. Like the Sean Sherk fight, he was in insane shape. That was actually before that. But he was in insane shape for that fight. The Diego Sanchez fight, he was a destroyer.
Kenny Florian, yeah.
Who else? There was a couple other fights that he had when he was in, like, the best shape ever as a lightweight. You know, but when he fought George, I was like, George is just too big. This is just not the right fight.
So this is the biggest fight ever.
To me, this is the one where I don't know what the fuck. First of all, I think John is the greatest light heavyweight champ of all time.
Ever. Right? Yes, ever. I agree.
And I think he's also still growing and getting better.
That's what's scary.
Spectacular talent.
Because he just moved his entire camp to Albuquerque because he used to live in New York. Now he bought a place in Albuquerque and he's training full time now. Yeah. He was just going to Albuquerque for camps.
Huh?
Think how crazy that's going to be.
Yeah, it's incredible.
The question becomes, after he beats Anthony Rumble Johnson,
Kane.
That's where he's got to go, right?
The question is if. It's not after, because I don't know what the fuck is going to happen when Anthony Rumble Johnson puts mitts on you. I don't know who's going to be able to withstand that.
The problem is John is so much longer and the reach is a factor. So I thought Glover was going to be an issue for him boxing. Offered nothing. Because of that length, it's tough to deal with, man.
Glover is very good. I said Glover is like at a possible like stand-up challengers. When I was looking at him coming in against John, I was like, he's got like really heavy hands.
Especially at the time.
Well, he took a step back. He's not training with he wasn't training with Hackelman for this last fight. He did it all in Connecticut. A lot of people thought he had his own camp that he did down there. A lot of people thought maybe he wasn't prepared as well.
When he fought John, though, there was a ton of hype. And the UFC pitched him like, this is the guy. Yeah. Chuck Liddell signed off on it. Dana White, you know, everyone thought he was the
guy. I felt like it. I mean, I feel like guys are as good as they are in their best performances, right? So, like, if you look at him, like, his best performance, like, he gets clipped by Ryan Bader, and seconds later he puts Bader away.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the way he beat up Kyle Kingsbury. That was a scary goddamn fight. The Kyle Kingsbury fight was scary. He just came out, and he shows you what the fuck he can do. And you're like, whoa. And you know that Kyle Kingsbury, who's a very good athlete and a really cool guy, wasn't at the best of the best. He wasn't at that level, right? You know, he was dominated by
Pat Cummins recently.
Right. So it's you know there's levels, and then you know Rumble Johnson has bad times at 170, but you gotta think that a lot of that had to do with him starving himself.
I'm sure.
And when you're looking at him as a light heavyweight, you know the way he fucking destroyed Nogueira, I was just like Jesus. And then taking out Gustafsson like that in the first round.
Although I wonder because he did headbutt Gustafsson, and Gustafsson fell to his knees.
It makes you wonder
at that point because. I mean, Gustafsson's still a killer, and I don't know. We just didn't get a chance to really see it. You know, yeah.
Definitely a factor, but should be a factor for both men, right? I mean, they're hitting each other with their heads.
But I feel like every time John has a new opponent, it's like, oh, this is it. This is the one. Look at DC. I legitimately thought DC was probably going to beat him in a decision, 3-2. I thought he had the perfect setup, the perfect pedigree to beat John Jones, and then. I mean, John destroyed him.
He took him down.
By
the hips.
It really wasn't that close of a fight. No. So then now it's like, oh, here's Anthony Johnson. And I love Anthony. He's a monster. But I feel like we go through this every time.
Yeah. Until we do.
Until he fights Kane, I think once he does, and that's going to happen, I bet. When he fights Kane, now we're talking.
Well, I think Kane has to stay healthy. You know, I mean, that's one of the.
I think he beats Kane.
He might.
I do.
You never know, man. Look, he might very well beat Johnson. It might be very well one of those things you look back on it in hindsight. And you say, well, you know, maybe I should have, you know, figured that this could have happened or that John would have an advantage here. But, dude, when I watch that dude lay mitts on people,
he's the hardest hitter at 205.
He's terrifying. A lot of shit can happen when that guy's hitting you.
I don't think that John Jones is hearing a peep out of him wrestling-wise, though. I think John Jones will dominate. I mean, if he grabs him, holds on to him, he seems to dominate.
This is why you should shut the fuck up. Did you see him fight Phil Davis?
Yeah.
The sprawls he hit Phil Davis with, ferocious sprawls.
Yeah, but did you see what he did to a two-time Olympian?
Phil Davis is a very high-level wrestler.
Not like Daniel Cormier. Cormier is a two-time Olympian.
Jones literally,
I couldn't believe, he picked him up by the hips, boom, dumped him again, just out-wrestled him. And Cormier said, this guy is so much bigger than you think when he's hanging on you, whether it's leverage or whatever. And Daniel Cormier is a guy who picks up heavyweights and throws them on their head like, what's his name?
Josh Barnett. Yeah.
No doubt. Look, Cormier wasn't a good matchup for him. John figured out right away that he could take him down.
Yeah.
Once he took him down in the first round, I was like, holy shit.
Once that happens, like, okay.
Yeah, holy shit.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's a goddamn wake-up call.
All anybody who knew a lot about wrestling said is, there's no question that Jones is going to be on his back when Cormier grabs him.
You know what? When you got a guy who's super fucking talented and his big derailment is a family. I mean, that's what happened. He had a kid, and then we got out of competitive wrestling because he had to feed his family. But if he had gone on, what I'm seeing out of this guy, like wrestling with people, he would have been
a JUCO national champion. Which is no punk, man.
No, not at all.
What is JUCO? Junior college national champion.
But I think like he would have given people fits
100%.
as a wrestler. I mean, anybody in the world, he would have given them fits.
Oh yeah.
I think it would have all been dedicated, or like how much time he dedicated to it, how much energy he did. But if he was in a situation where he could train 100% enough to support his family, he would have been like a seriously world-class amateur wrestler.
If not the best, especially in his weight class. Look what he's doing in the UFC. If he decided to focus on wrestling, he would be the best.
He's a fucking stud.
With his mentality, man.
And then, you know, you look at what Johnson's been able to do when he hits people, man. John doesn't do that. There's a difference between the way John hits people. John fucks people up, make no mistake.
John's
about
fought tougher guys, though.
Fuck yeah,
at 205.
100% he has. John's fought everybody. John's fought everyone.
John fights a little nog. It's not going to be pretty.
No, it'll be ugly as fuck, especially now.
Yeah.
He'll be so confident coming into it now. But, you know, if you fought him back when Nogueira gave, let's think about like his best performance in the Octagon.
Brills?
Maybe.
Brills. Rashad.
Rashad was a good one. Yeah. Rashad was a good one because he shut him down with his boxing.
Yep.
And Rashad was tentative, like afraid to commit. Like, people don't realize, like, Little Nog was a national champion in Brazil. Mm-hmm. He's like,
really
he
good boxer.
Meddled.
Both
he meddled
box.
As an amateur boxer.
Wow.
Yeah, he meddled in like the Pan Am Games or something like that. No, he's legit.
Yeah. Super legit boxer. So,
but Rumble at that stage, like Rumble's coming up, Little Nog is getting older.
I was in the dressing room while Little Nog was warming up because I was cornering Pat Cummings against Kingsbury in, where was that, Sacramento, I think, San Francisco. Anyways, Little Nog was warming up, and I'm telling you, man, I was like, oh, no. Someone should stop him from going out there. He couldn't even hit the mitts. He couldn't hit the mitts. He was so stiff.
Jesus.
He just sat there until Bert said his name, and then he started going.
A lot of those guys, by the time they get to a certain age, their body's gone through so much trauma, like so much physical trauma, so much damage, so many kicks, so many punches, so many takedowns. There's just micro injuries.
And they're not that
everywhere.
Old.
No.
Him and his brother are not that old.
They had ferocious, especially his brother, had ferocious wars.
His brother, that fight with Bob Sapp.
Oh my God. He was never the same after that fight. His neck was always fucked up after that fight. If you watch that fight, it's hard to believe he got through that.
I agree.
He got pile-drived by a 300-plus-pound gigantic super athlete. Yeah.
They offered him the fight again. He was like, no, I beat him.
Again?
Yeah, and he was like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
I'd never fight a guy that big again.
He'd break his back, man. Ugh. He could have broken his back. Dude, he pile-drived him. I mean,
just an all natural Bob Sapp, just fresh off.
Are you being
sarcastic?
Dude, you're going to get us written up in MMA magazines again. This would be the number one story.
Come on.
Brendan Schaub says Bob Sapp was on steroids.
That's an outrage.
That's ridiculous.
This is outrageous. I should probably address this Fedor thing because people keep bringing it up. First of all, I think it's weird that we have to, every time we have a podcast and we just talk shit, it becomes like stories.
We get in trouble.
Yeah, it's hilarious. There's stories. And one of them was that I said that it was highly possible that Fedor could have been on performance-enhancing drugs. I'm not saying that because he was cheating and everybody else wasn't. When I say that, I'm just saying it only based on the environment that guy was competing in.
Right.
Where you looked at the contracts, it said specifically, we do not test for steroids. Does that mean that anybody's on steroids? No, it absolutely doesn't mean it. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean the possibility is there. If Fedor comes out and he says, I never took steroids, this is a fact, I have no reason to disbelieve him.
Yeah.
But we look at the environment that guy was competing in, and there's no doubt about it. We just brought up Bob Sapp. He's the major one. He's the number one major one, where there's the best evidence you ever need that no one's testing anybody.
Come on.
You got a guy.
Looks like Hulk.
Not even a human.
375.
375 with abs.
Yeah. 6% body fat or something like
that. Yeah,
just
ridiculously jacked. Yeah. Beat Ernesto Hoost that way.
Yep.
One of the greatest kickboxers of all time.
Just those uppercuts jumping in the air.
Him. Just smash him with muscle and just test and D-ball and whatever the fuck else was in his veins. But it's like you look at, there was a lot of guys that were doing stuff back then. If you talk to the people that competed, even people that are clean, they'll tell you, man, I saw dudes that I know for a fact were doing shit. I know a good percentage of them were doing it. It might not have been Fedor.
It's not crazy to assume that.
It's not crazy.
It's not ridiculous to assume that.
So first of all, the big important point, it wasn't even cheating. It's only cheating by our laws. We're calling cheating by United States laws. They didn't even have it in their contract. Like, it said in the contract, we're not going to test for steroids. They're telling you
you can do whatever
you want.
Which basically says, yeah.
So it's like, let's put it in perspective with this whole Tour de France thing. The big argument, Bill Burr had a hilarious segment on Conan talking about it, is like, everybody was on juice, that it's a dirty sport, that our psychopath beat your psychopaths. But everyone's cheating. And he's right. He's right. If everyone just admitted what they were doing, then we would just be able to deal with it on the fact, well, to do that bike race, you need to have all this shit in your system.
Yeah.
That's the only way these guys could do it. We could tell kids that. Don't feel inadequate next to Mr. This fuck guy.
He's got scientists.
Because this fuck guy's got EPO in his veins. Yeah. And we should tell people this is the only way they can do this and compete. You know, but we make sure that their levels don't get above a safe amount. And then, you know, you let them compete that way. There's a lot of people that feel like that. Like, if you have, like, such a dirty sport. Whereas, like, when Armstrong had to give his shit back, and they go back to
15th
people.
Place.
Yeah, it was like 15th place, the
15th
guy who
place.
Didn't test positive for something.
So it's basically a level playing field.
Yeah,
it's basically a level playing field.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're all cheating. It's just who's better at hiding the cheating,
right.
Who's got a better team behind them. I don't think that's necessarily the case with fighting. Like I've said, I would bet $1 million that BJ Penn never took shit. Mm-hmm. I bet $1 million.
I agree.
He's the guy.
100%.
There's a lot of other guys, I think, if they got injured. Like this is Anderson's thing. He's saying that he took it because he was injured and he was trying to heal his leg. He still can't do it because it's illegal. Like, you can't. It's like, it's not in the rules because they've shown that if you do take it, I believe that you're only taking it to heal your leg. Don't get me wrong. But if you allow people that sort of loophole, there's certain steroids that you can take that alter your body permanently.
Mm.
Like, you're going to take steroids that they've done tests on these. And it might be a small amount. And that small amount might be not even close to like the advantage that someone like John Jones has over someone like Eddie Brill. You know what I mean? Like just insane genetics, insane athleticism. Like even if you do take steroids and you keep a little bit of it, bitch, you're still not as naturally stronger than you. Like you're Fucksville.
Yeah.
With nothing.
Fucksville.
With no drugs, he's way stronger than you.
Right.
So you're fucked. But you just can't let that be something that everybody does. Because it's not
well,
we're
because
not,
you'd
not,
have to no because you'd get into what you'd have to define what an injury is now.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, people would all have injuries.
Well, not only that, people would do it in the off season and put on crazy strength,
and Americans
and
would
lose
hate
some of it.
You.
Exactly.
The world would hate the sport if they knew everyone was cheating,
exactly,
and roided to the gills. It's just not pure. People won't assume their heroes and the guys they see on TV or gals are supplement free.
Yeah, and if we got to a point where everyone is like doing like it's all obvious they do it. Well, like it's listed in their stats. You know, he takes 15 milliliters of this fucking chemical.
Can you imagine?
Dioxymacathate, and he tells like the whole stack that he's on, and it's all about getting the right stack.
But it really raises a really important. But it raises a very important question, which is, as we are pushing way beyond our biology, and it's becoming exponential, and so you're going to have high school kids like Ray Kurzweil says. has who can inject themselves with tiny little robots that like the red blood cells that basically oxygenate your blood. They can sprint for an hour.
Robots. Brian told me the other day that technology to create bulletproof flying dragons.
No, I was just saying. I was just saying synthetic biology.
They probably
we're
do.
All fucked, yeah. Man. No, I mean, we're probably 100 years away from them being able to create organisms.
Whatever you can come up with.
Yeah,
Craig Venter says 25 years. But the point is
he's probably smarter than me, so I'll go with what that guy says.
The point is that you're getting to a point where you can where biology and technology is just getting to a. How do you deny it?
Yeah,
you're
going to
gene dope and do all this stuff. So then, what does that mean when you're competing against another guy? Is it actually like race cars? Race cars have a whole team of mechanics that work on that engine.
But it's like race cars, you have a very specific amount of cubic inches you're allowed to have.
Yeah. That's true.
Everything has a certain amount. There's a limit to horsepower. They run at the. So it's all about the skill of the driver, like the sophistication of the team that puts it together. I mean, they have to adjust the suspension, calibrate the dampers, make sure that everything's correct as far as the weight balance and all this other jazz, and they build a solid engine. But the engine has to be like, you know, whatever it is, 500 horsepower. You can't.
And here's a little news flash for you. If every girl in the division at 135 took steroids, they're still not beating Ronda. You could be juiced to the gills and you're not beating Ronda. Mm-hmm. Yeah, guys at 205, juice all you want. You're not beating John Jones. It's just not going to happen, man.
Right? Isn't that strange? There's like guys that – and by the way, that might have been Fedor. It's very possible.
True.
And when I say this – I have like a few all-time favorite fighters. Brendan Schaub, of course, because he's my friend.
Yes.
Well, you never saw me do taekwondo? All right, I don't know.
Video, I guess.
Okay, we'll show you. We'll get to that.
But the top two, like, there's maybe like three or four, like that are interchangeable. And one of them is Vanderlei, just because every fight was chaos.
Yeah.
I'll be a Vanderlei Silva fan to the day I die. That motherfucker was a maniac. In Pride, when he fought Rampage and he's standing in front of him, like bobbing his head back and forth, the fucking
Valley
stare
Tudo,
down.
Shorts on.
And you do this fucking thing,
Axe
the wiggle, the wiggle, the gloves. Dude, I can very clearly remember Eddie Bravo and I sitting in my living room, cross-legged on the couch, hands sweaty, when Vanderlei was about to fight Rampage.
It was a fucking war.
Couple of balls
it
of estrogen.
It was war. God damn, he was good. God damn, he was chaotic. He was just so ferocious. So he will always have a special place in my heart. But then when it comes to technicians, there's two guys that are interchangeable. It's Anderson and Fedor. Those are my two favorite technicians.
Anderson fell out of my top because of the steroids.
I give him a break.
I give him a break
on his past performances. I give him a break on the spectacular knockouts, like the Vitor Belfort front kick to the face, choking out Dan Henderson when Dan was dropping bombs out people. I give him a break. You know, before his chin went, before the Weidman fight, when Weidman caught him, Weidman fucking hurt him, dude. He hurt him bad. And if you watch that second fight, it just does not look like he takes the same punch that he did in the first fight. And they're in the clinch. He gets clipped, and he goes down. And I look at him. I go, man, here's a guy who's struggling. Like, this is the end of the career. Like, he's 39.
Yeah.
This is how we look at athletes.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is the reality. If you're going to be natural, this is the reality of athletes. They get to a certain point, especially after a few knockouts, and they're 39 years old. Like, that's what you're looking at, man. You're looking at the deterioration of the master. And at one point in time, Anderson was the fucking master. To say anything else,
the best I've ever
ridiculous.
Seen.
He's the best.
As far as
performances, I look at the way he put guys away too, like the Stefan Bonner fight. Like Jesus fucking Christ, he did it like he's a magician. He's standing with his back up against the cage,
waved him over,
and then when he decides it's time to attack, crushes him with one knee to the solar plexus.
Imagine the confidence you have to do that.
God. Bonner's huge too. Bonner's 6'4", 235.
Was on. Juice. Bonner tested positive.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Bonner's not the best example. I mean, he's not the best fighter that no disrespect, but he's not the best fighter that Anderson's faced.
Right.
But you look at what he did to Rich Franklin. Rich Franklin's a tough motherfucker, man. Look at Rich Franklin with Chuck Liddell.
How about Forrest Griffin?
But do you think the Rich Franklin that fought Chuck Liddell was better than the Rich Franklin that fought Anderson? Because I don't.
No. There's no way.
No. So the Anderson that fought Rich Franklin, he fought the best Rich Franklin ever and just ran through
him. Dismantled him with knees.
In front of him, dropped his hands, and let him throw kicks at him and just died. In a fucking championship fight. In a world championship fight. His hands are down. The guy's throwing kicks at his head.
It's insane.
And he's bobbing and weaving like it's not even happening.
So you got Anderson over Fedor.
I got Anderson overall. I have Anderson
number
over
one.
Everyone. Always.
He's your favorite.
He's my number
ever.
One. Anderson's my favorite.
Has to be.
He's my favorite. Have to be.
Who's your favorite?
Well, this is just my opinion. This is my opinion. And in that mix, of those great guys, is Anderson and in Fedor. I say Anderson overall, but is energy. I had some fantastic enjoyment watching Fedor fights. Mm-hmm. Like what I'm saying and what I said about it being possible that someone might have done performance enhancing drugs. It's not an accusation. I'm just highlighting the reality of the environment that they were competing in. That's it. Mm-hmm. As far as my respect for him as an athlete and as a fighter, I'm a huge, huge fan of that guy. I've always been a huge fan. There's a video of me on YouTube with that UFC hated because I was talking about what a bad motherfucker he is. This is what he's fighting for the other organization. It's a highlight video of me just ranting about what a bad motherfucker he is. Like, I've always thought he was amazing.
I think Fedor's in everyone's top.
I have to be honest. I'm honest about everything. And even if it could be possibly perceived to be disrespectful, it's not my intention. My intention is to look at the reality. I don't know whether or not someone took a performance-enhancing drug. I don't know.
Right.
I have no idea. I could take a wild guess. But it's all bullshit. Unless I see it or unless we know for sure because someone tested positive.
Or his traps are ridiculously large.
Well, even then, there's some dudes that are just built a certain way.
To assume that, though, it's not crazy. No one should write a story about you assuming that.
Exactly.
That's like assuming I'm the only one that tans in here. I'm brown as shit. You guys are white.
I have a buddy.
It's not ridiculous to assume I tan.
You know Dmitry.
Yeah.
Dmitry's Ukrainian.
Yep.
And he's built like a brick fucking shit house.
He really is.
This dude and I have been friends since we were like 15. We competed together. We were in the same Taekwondo team. We tried. He was the heavyweight. I sparred that dude all the time.
You probably know him, Brian. You're on the same circuit.
I couldn't actually. I like missed a national tournament once because he kicked my shin and snapped my fucking, not the tibia, the fibula or the tibia? Tibia is the fat one. The fibula is the small.
The painful one.
My point is he's a stone. 235. Just a big, that motherfucker never did anything. I know he never did anything. We were friends. We were friends back when he was competing. I mean, they didn't test anybody back then. Like, they tested you if you got to the Olympics in Taekwondo.
You would know if he was on something.
He wasn't on shit. I know he wasn't on shit. But if you looked at him, you would say that guy's juicy to the tits.
You can't do that. And I wish the public could meet certain athletes where it's like, no, these people are actually born different than you.
Yeah.
You meet Tim Tebow. You see Tim, and it's just like, he won't take protein powder he's worried about. Ronda Rousey, you hang out with Ronda? No, she does nothing. And she's just built different than us. He's just a freak.
Brock was at the UFC this weekend, and I shook his hands, and he picked me up in the air with a handshake.
What do you mean?
And I'm not bullshitting, dude. He picked me up in the air with a fucking handshake. I go, "What's up, big man?" I clapped hands with him, and all of a sudden, I was in the air.
Come on.
Dude, I'm not fucking around,
man. He's a monster.
He's a monster. I mean, he kind of touched me with his left hand while he picked me up.
Wow.
But most of it was just him sack a potato in
just
me.
Just a giant hand.
Just giant. My hand disappeared. It was like a laptop. It was like I was shaking hands with a laptop.
That's like Shane Carwin, ridiculous. Who picked me up and started to squeeze me. You were there. And I was like, oh, and I was tapping. And he goes, I just hear in my ear, that's 20%, bro.
Dude, Shane.
He squeezed my body until
Shane, we'd be on his boat. His hand's so big, we'd be on his boat. And I'd be like, hey, Shane, you need another beer? He's like, I got one, brother. Peel his hand back. I'm like, damn, bro.
You can't fuck with that kind of genetics.
Suck the jack so off.
You just can't. You can't fuck with that kind of genetics.
No, and
it's just guys that are just too big.
And I
too
wish big. People could hang around with athletes of this caliber. Because it's like, no, I'm telling you, they're just built different. No matter what you ever do, you're never going to be on the
nature
same
nature ain't
field.
Equal.
Mike Tyson in his prime. Yeah. I mean, just get the fuck out of here. He didn't need to do shit. No. All he was doing was working out.
Yeah.
He was
eating
getting
candy
up and
shit.
I run at 5:30 in the morning because it's dark out and I always assume that my opponent's still sleeping and that gives me extra strength. Extra confidence. He's just fucking running. Just fucking diesel square headed destroying machine.
Incredible.
Fast twitch muscle fiber and angst. And finally in his life he's become special after years of neglect. And that special talent is knocking motherfuckers out.
And 100 mil in the bank. And can you imagine him in his heyday?
He had 400 mil, I believe.
God, Jesus.
At one point, then lost it all.
Well, I don't think he all had it all at one point in time. I don't think he had $400 million in the bank. I think that's like his total that he pissed away over his life.
It's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
he had tigers. Charlie Murphy was on my podcast and told a story about Mike Tyson and a fucking tiger. Dude, there's a video of it. Pull the video of it. Somebody made a video. Find out who the video was made by. Some fan did it. He did an animation of Mike Tyson and his fucking tiger.
He's got tigers.
Charlie Murphy pulls up and no one wants to get out of the limousine. They're all sitting there in Mike Tyson's house. This is when his brother Eddie Murphy was fucking gigantic. Yeah. You know, he still is. But when Charlie, people didn't know who Charlie was. Charlie was hanging out with his brother, who was friends with
Mike.
Are they
close? They're pretty close, those two.
Yeah. They're close. I ran into them just totally randomly in Maui. It was the coolest shit ever.
Both of them?
Yeah. I was at the counter checking into a hotel, and his cousin Rich was there. I was like, what's up, Rich? What are you doing, man? Because we went on that tour together, the Max and Connie tour.
Right.
He goes, oh, shit, man. What's up? Charlie's here. Eddie's here. I go, no way. So I went and hung out with Charlie, and I sat down with Eddie Murphy. I was like sitting down with Eddie Murphy having lunch.
Cool,
it's
dude.
Pretty cool, man.
Funny,
oh,
funny dude.
He's the nicest guy, man. He's so nice.
Because Charlie's a stand-up guy, right?
Charlie is a fucking prince of a human being.
Really?
He's a gem. I love that
That's
guy.
That's good to hear, man.
He's such a good dude. Like, I hung out with that dude. We did 22 shows together, and I liked him more every night.
Wow.
He's just a solid stand-up dude. Charlie Murphy is a great
Where are they from,
guy.
Those two?
New York. Charlie Murphy's a legit martial artist, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He's
really?
A legit black belt in karate.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he fought in, like,
well, his dad
point
was a
tournaments
boxer.
And shit back in the day, yeah. But he's well immersed in martial arts. Like, you talk to him about martial arts, and
he just recently got pretty popular, right? Well, not
Charlie?
Recently, but because the Dave Chappelle show when
yeah.
he's on there.
But
before then, it's like, oh, cool, Charlie Murphy. Or, you know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I think his dad was a boxer, and Eddie Murphy works out. That he boxes. You know, I don't know if he sparks.
Does he?
But, yeah, but his dad was. I don't think he was a pro, but I think his dad was pretty close.
Well, I don't know, but I know that Charlie's been doing martial arts since he was young. Like, we had some great conversations about it, but just about everything, man. He's just one of those dudes that you listen to him, like you want to hear him talk.
Yeah,
like,
he has great stories,
you know?
Man.
Oh,
could there be anyone bigger than Eddie Murphy? At the time in his heyday,
no.
Eddie Murphy was so big.
Yeah, that donkey on, what is the, is
Shrek?
It Shrek?
Yeah.
I think he made, well, the movie made. They're
well, yeah,
talking about
he's
how much
done
money
a lot
he's made.
Man. What
he's
about
done
trading
he's done,
places?
He's done just
Shrek?
Fine. Yeah, he's done
coming
just
to America?
The voice
Shrek
of Shrek?
Are you a terrorist? Yeah.
No, he's the Shrek. He's
who
the donkey.
Are you?
He's the donkey.
Were you living
he's
in Saudi Arabia when all this shit was going on?
No, I know who he is, but
coming to America.
You know who he is.
No, he's
hold
huge.
On, hold on, hold on.
He's huge. I'm saying Shrek the donkey is where he made a ton to. He made $13 million.
Yeah,
in
I need
day
to hit the brakes
something.
Real quick.
That's
can you
a
name me one of
donkey.
One of Eddie Murphy's stand up comedy specials?
Raw, which I saw live.
You saw live.
Yes,
you were in the
did.
Audience?
In D.C.
Get the fuck out.
Yep.
That's pretty
It was incredible.
Whoa.
I know.
That's amazing.
I know.
How'd you get tickets?
My friend bought them for us. It was a surprise for her brother's birthday.
God.
And it was incredible. Greg Belasco and his sister Amy. And we went there, and I was probably 18, 19?
Wow.
And he comes out in his leather suit.
Oh, my God.
And these are seminal moments, because you could see him on the screen, too, and his acting and the things he did. It was shocking how good he was. Shocking. And they were all going crazy, and he went to one side of the room, and he put his hand to his ear, then the next hand to his ear, and I was just like, well, that's the coolest dude on the planet. And the idea that I do that in a small way, that I'm a comic, is still incredible to me.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
watching for sure
it.
His highlight of his career is not Shrek being the donkey.
No,
yeah.
No,
you
no,
fucked
was,
up.
You didn't,
fucked
let, you didn't
up.
Let me finish
you
what I was saying.
Up.
Was they were talking
you
about how much he made
up,
for Universal.
But you definitely fucked up, right?
No, man. Guys,
come
hold on.
You went with Shrek?
Guys.
You don't think you fucked up?
Guys, hold on.
I'm sure he made a lot of money, but guess what?
Yeah.
He was already rich as fuck.
Oh,
if a guy like Eddie Murphy.
What?
Come on, son.
Yeah.
If a guy like Eddie Murphy.
He had a dry spell for a while, though, didn't he?
Listen, dude, settle down. What is dry spell? What, are you sitting back counting?
You
found out how much money he had. He got done. He probably counted about $1,000 a day, and he got bored after a while, and then he said, let me start doing movies again. And he did that movie with Steve Martin. Everybody goes, oh, shit, I forgot. Eddie Murphy's one of the funniest guys ever.
Ever.
He's amazing.
Ever.
He's
and
amazing.
Brian's like, the donkey. And
what'd
Shrek.
You say, Jamie? Yeah, Dr. Doolittle.
No, the donkey.
But those are like little kids' movies. I got to go back to like Trading Places.
Incredible.
You know? Like
48 hours?
48 hours.
Oh.
Yeah, 48 hours is the big one.
Beverly
right?
Hills Cop is
Beverly
huge.
Hills
one,
Cop.
One,
on.
Two, three, son.
But Nick
Amazing.
Nolte? Come on, him
you
and Nick Nolte?
You fucking said Shrek, man.
You said Shrek!
You didn't let me finish!
No,
I was saying
you said a cartoon
no,
voice.
Guys,
wasn't
hold
even
on.
Him.
I was saying he effortlessly made some insane amount of money just being a donkey. And
I'm
like,
telling you,
all
he got $13 million. He didn't need it.
I know.
That 13 million,
like a sheik.
It went in a pile somewhere.
Right.
He doesn't even feel that.
Have you
a
seen his
like
girl
Eddie
lately?
No.
Have you seen his girl
She's the
lately?
Best looking woman
sure.
on the planet.
I'm sure. He's yeah. still beautiful.
Yeah.
I saw him at the beach.
Good looking
looks
guy.
Great. He doesn't look like whatever old he is.
God,
he's older
I bet
than
he
me.
Has great
but
stories.
I look older than him, probably.
He is also a germaphobe. He'll use a bar of soap once, throw it away.
Well, he's rich. That's yeah. Eddie Murphy. Charlie does that with sneakers.
Really?
Charlie gets sneakers. They're in a box before a show, puts them on, throws those bitches to the
side.
Yeah,
I'm not even rich. I only wear socks once, son. I'm not even rich. I don't wear socks twice.
Play the video of Charlie at Mike Tyson's house, because this is how fucking goddamn funny Charlie Murphy is.
I bet he has such good stories.
Oh, he's a
gem. Seen that Tyson documentary. Is it just called Tyson? What is it called?
I think Extremely Powerful. You see a man
it is
cry.
Fucking incredible.
Cry when he reflects on parts of his life.
Yeah.
A strong man like that. You have to realize that whatever was on him was no joke.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Right? That's a man who one time I went to his house and it was six limos and nobody would get out the limo. And I said, how come nobody's getting out the car? They said, you don't see that lion standing over there? Mike Tyson had a lion in his front yard.
Like Hangover style.
That's the only man whose house I ever went over. There was a lion in the front yard, loose.
Wow.
And he was on the steps like this with a heavyweight belt. I went to get out the car and play with my cat. He's like, no, oh man, God. No, that's not a cat. That's a lion.
That's fucking real.
Oh my God.
Mike Tyson had a lion.
A male lion or a female lion?
That's awesome.
With a mane, a lion in his front yard, loose.
Oh, shit.
It was walking, it was off the leash, man. Shit. It was not in the cage, it was in the yard.
Oh my God.
And then he came out and started wrestling with him.
Oh my God. Damn, he wrestled. How big was the lion?
It was big, man. It was a lion, man.
He was wrestling with a lion.
Came over there and grabbed him and started tussling with him and all.
Oh, Jesus.
And everybody was in the limousine until the lion could come up to a limousine and bust the window open and come in there.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Easy.
He could just go like this, boof, and come right in there. And just have lunch. So everybody was in the car. He couldn't back out because it was all like five limos. So everybody's in the car horrified, thinking that Mike is getting ready to be eaten. But that doesn't happen. He plays with him and takes him in the back. Comes back out. And I was like, you know what? I'm never going to be around another man in life that's going to do that in front of you. Oh, and, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, fuck. That's incredible. Oh,
who's the animation?
That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Telepath, slain at Telepathoid. That's the dude
so
who
funny.
Put it together. So
walking
thank
the lion
you,
back.
Buddy.
The lion back. The lion back.
S-L-A-I-N. At what is it again?
Oh God!
Oh shit! That was
you just say boof.
I just want to give this guy his credit. What is it? What did it say at the very end there? Just want to give the guy because it's really cool. It's funny animation too. Telepathoid.
Yeah.
So slain at Telepathoid.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for making that. But yeah, how funny is he?
I said boof,
dude.
Boof. I never heard anybody use that expression.
A lion. Be a lion.
Heavyweight belt. Heavyweight belt.
Could you imagine?
It's the first time I'll never see something like this again in my life.
Imagine seeing him sitting there with a heavyweight belt.
Imagine the experiences Mike Tyson had in his heyday and Eddie Murphy had in his heyday.
God damn.
Yeah, excess. Insanity.
God damn. Yeah.
That kind of celebrity brings out the aphrodisiac.
Damn.
Oops.
There's so many crazy fucking dudes in this world that have competed in MMA. So many crazy worlds that have fought. So many crazy dudes that have fought in boxing. Mm. Like their whole life stories. If you had to like accumulate the wildness of like a Roberto Duran's life story.
Johnny Tapia. You ever seen the Johnny Tapia?
No. Yes.
Oh
no.
Watch the documentary on Johnny Tapia.
Really?
Man. Oh
it's
my
insane.
God. Mi vida loca. Drug addict.
Yeah.
Fight world champion.
Yeah. Aaron Pryor. Same thing. Just blow. And
So many of these great fighters, just crazy, wild lives, so much nuts, chaos.
Ending sometimes like Arturo Gatti getting shot and killed.
He got strangled. His fucking girl.
Yeah.
His girl killed him.
Yeah, set him
got
up.
Got off in Brazil.
Yep.
It was all in Brazil.
Set him up for the insurance, right?
Yeah, apparently he was hit on the head and choked. Yeah, and they're saying he did it to himself.
Come on.
Yeah. His family thinks she fucking killed him.
Yeah,
for sure.
They got a picture of her getting out of jail. She's laughing and smiling. Like, that's not how
that
you
ain't
feel.
Right, man.
If that is really your husband and you miss him and he's gone, you feel horrible that someone put you in jail for that when you miss him so much and killed himself. And second of all, when you come out, you're not smiling.
It's like a celebration for her.
Yeah, this ain't a celebration. Yeah. You're still depressed because your husband's dead, because he killed himself, and you were just accused of doing it, and people still suspect you of it. You should be depressed.
That's
you should
insane.
Feel terrible. You should feel terrible that the whole world is calling bullshit on you and saying that you killed him. You should be like, you should be under pressure. She doesn't look like she's under pressure at all.
I saw a statistic today that said in Mexico, if you commit a murder, there's less than 5% chance that you'll do any jail time.
Oh, my God.
That's also because the people
How insane
doing
is that?
the people doing the murder are a lot of times so well connected. You're talking about cartel violence now.
That's where the cops are involved and everything. So I keep my ass in America.
Yeah, you know what, man? I have a real terrible feeling about the way our world is connected with, like, these borders of countries. We won't let people in, and we keep people out. Like, in some sense, I kind of understand what people are trying to do, trying to manage what we can with our own space. But if you're not managing your fucking next-door neighbor, if you're not helping, you know, like, say if you live next to a crazy broken-down trailer and there's some fucking, and you can't move. This is like you have a permanent house.
Yeah.
This is your neighbor, man.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You going to help him out? You know, his kids need some food. Maybe he needs a little money for gas. Like, yeah, you're doing a lot better than him. Just give him a little every now and then just to soothe this motherfucker's life. Just soothe this
Mexico's issue is
life.
Not that. Mexico's issue, though, is institutions and the integrity of those institutions.
Professor Callen, at it again.
It's really true, though.
Okay, but I was making a point, you fuck.
Yeah, no, but
what I was trying to say is these people, they shouldn't be like another country. They're right there.
Yeah.
They should be people that we consider, you know, to be in a bad situation and try to help them, whether it's help them politically, help them financially.
Yeah, they're struggling,
them.
Man.
But the idea that we're separate from them, like, there should be, like, a lot of emphasis on trying to fix Mexico and a less emphasis on fucking with countries that are on the other side of the planet.
Well, you want to fix them, you legalize marijuana overall in the United States, because the cartel drug war is what's feeding all this chaos.
Drugs.
That's a big part of it. That's a big part of it, for sure, you know, and there's a big part of it is probably going to be, like, a lot of the corruption that you're seeing, like, probably a lot of that's going to go away when things become more and more transparent because of the internet. Mm. It's going to be harder and harder for people to pull off the kind of shit they're doing in Russia right now, where you see Putin's number one enemy just got whacked.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Shot in public.
With his hot girlfriend.
Good. Someone just came
Lord.
Up.
Really? Here.
Good Lord, sir.
Someone just came up and shot him.
Homeboy's
Lord
55. And he's got this smoking Russian girlfriend. She's 23. He's been with her for 3 years. Holla.
Bunny.
So it's love.
So he's walking down. It's totally love. They're very compatible. He's walking down the street with her, and a fucking car pulls up and just unloads on him.
Kills her too, or no?
I think no, didn't even shoot her. I think more than one guy shot her.
Yeah.
Shot him, rather.
It was a hit.
And she's just standing there while they just shoot him in front of her, like bang, bang, bang.
That's horrifying.
The dude's dead, and, you know, and now they just let her leave and go back to her country. They allowed her to.
You think she cried, or she's like, damn.
She probably was freaked out. I mean,
that's a terrible thing to say.
She's probably completely freaked out.
I mean,
could you imagine? You're dating this dude and he gets assassinated because
she probably loved him. He was a really charismatic, awesome guy. He was all about reforms. He was a big critic of the Kremlin.
I'm sure that's why she was with him.
Well, back, you know, who knows, man? It's cultural. Everybody's got a different way of looking at things. Police question girlfriend. What are you doing, Jimmy?
She is. That's.
Damn.
That's what I'm saying.
That's as crazy as I've ever seen.
It just hit red hot.
Murdered Putin. Critic. That's the murdered Putin critic. Imagine if that's like your title after you're dead. You're the murdered Putin critic. Because that's all people are going to remember about that cat.
On CNN stuff, when I was doing the ice bucket challenge, I did it.
How dare you?
Benching 315 pounds, right?
You did the ice bucket challenge while benching 315 pounds?
Yeah, and I had Callen pour the water on me. Oh. And the only thing I was concerned with is I said, if it slips, like it falls off and hits me in the neck and I die, will it be on CNN? Will it be like, guy tries ice bucket challenge, dies? That's the only thing I was worried
about.
You're
not going to die from 315 pounds.
I would have tackled.
Drop it on my
face?
You're
not going to totally drop it, like your arm's going to stop working.
Well,
you know?
With the water, let's say it slips off. Yeah, have you seen that, the USC football player?
Yeah.
It's not going to be good either way.
Yeah, that guy was benching some stupid amount of weight, like 600 plus pounds, right? Wasn't he?
No, this dude, the homeboy had, I think, maybe 400, 300 something, and it slipped because the way they would do it, they wouldn't wrap their fingers around the bar. They would just like this.
Mm. Oh, God. Oh,
and his arms failed and it fell?
It just slipped off.
Oh, no. And he died?
He takes it off the bar. No, he's supposed to be a pretty high draft pick.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Fell on him. Obviously, he's not really, can't do anything, and it's just like... jacked him up, man. He can't talk anymore. Broke his neck.
Oh my
trachea,
God.
Everything. Can't speak.
Oh, fuck. I saw a different one. I saw it was a white guy. It was a powerlifter dude.
Oh, I've seen that. Ooh. He was so fat that I think he's good. You know what I'm saying? Let's be real, bro.
He's so fat, I think he's good.
I think he's good. There's an advantage to being that thick,
well,
man.
A lot of guys get punched in the belly when they're fat, and the punch never even reaches them. I mean, they've got fucking 5 inches of layer.
It's crazy.
Like, if somebody punches you legitimately, like, you could fuck somebody up with one of those Taekwondo body protectors on. You know, I've seen people get kicked and go to the hospital to the body. But if you're a fat guy, you're walking around through life with a Taekwondo body protector.
You ain't dropping Roy Nelson with a liver shot. I'll tell you that right now. Roy's going to laugh if you hit him to the body. So.
Yeah, well, especially to the front of the body.
Yeah.
No one has
keep
ever,
him
like,
to the front.
Roundhouse kicked that dude in the stomach and really fucked
him
up.
He's the biggest mystery
to me. He fights Overeem next. That's a good fight, son.
Dude, that's in Dallas.
Dallas.
That's going to be
a big card. That's a good card.
What are you doing that weekend? You around?
What weekend is it?
March 13th and 14th.
I will be in Chicago at the Schaumburg Improv. And this weekend.
Sucks for you, buddy.
Where will I be this weekend?
I don't know. You tell me.
Come on, man. You're supposed to do my advertisement.
Well,
Lexington, Kentucky. Wow. Brian Callen. Off-Broadway comedy.
Oh, is that the name of the place?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
Sunday.
Off-Broadway
in Kentucky.
Brian Callen.
It's really off-Broadway.
Yeah, it's very off-Broadway.
Off
it's in Kentucky.
Far as shit away from Broadway.
You don't want to do comedy on Broadway unless it's only you and you open with the exact same shit every night.
Oh,
and you do it as a performance piece.
Yeah.
You'd have to do a performance art
with a box of wigs.
Yeah. It's for them. It's very important if you're going to do a one-man show performance piece. Like, guys do stand-up. Like, there's guys that have made a career off of doing stand-up as a one-man show.
Yeah.
Like that Defending the Caveman guy.
He's made a fortune.
Fuck load of money.
Yeah. Well, also, you might be a redneck. He did the same thing over and over, right?
Did he?
Yeah, one-man show.
Oh, I didn't know he did that.
Yeah. No, you talking about Larry the Cable Guy?
No, it's not Larry the Cable Guy. Foxworthy.
Jeff Foxworthy.
You didn't even know your goddamn film.
No,
how dare you?
No, he was always just a stand-up, I think. Wasn't he Foxworthy? He had that show for a while.
He's still a stand-up. Yeah. He was part of the Blue
Collar
Comedy
Tour. Is he still doing stand-up?
Fuck yeah.
Killing it still.
You never stop. I'll never stop.
Dude, well, fucking Larry the Cable Guy. Nobody talks about Larry the Cable Guy. He flies under the weather. Under the radar.
Under the radar.
He's got a fucking, there's a picture that Josh Wolf showed me. Josh Wolf and him did a tour together, and they did a goddamn football arena.
God.
And it's him standing on
stage.
Yes. Yeah. It's him standing on stage. Josh Wolf took a selfie of him standing on stage in front of, 100,000 fucking people.
What?
Or whatever the fuck it was. What is one of those
90% mullets.
50,000? Let's say it's 50,000. Yeah. How many did they get one of those things?
100,000.
Okay. Filled. For Larry the Cable Guy.
What?
Filled.
Is it 2004?
Look at that. Look what you're looking at.
That's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
That's Nebraska. That's a big ass stadium.
Are you shitting me?
Big red.
Look at the size of that fucking crowd. Is that from Josh Wolf's Twitter feed or something?
Central.
Okay.
Dude, that's
look
insane.
At that. Look at that.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a sea of humans. That's an army. He could start a war.
Yeah.
He could take those Larry the Cable Guy-ettes and send them overseas. They could conquer countries.
Dude,
one of his crowds.
I didn't know. I got to be honest. I thought he was dead.
Yo, that's the entire.
How dare you?
Entire population of Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah.
That is.
For reals, man.
It's 100,000.
He's killing it. I didn't even know. Honestly, I didn't know he's still doing
stand-up. Dude, he does that all the time.
Yeah.
He does that all over the country.
Yep.
He doesn't do that like once a year. That's not like the once a year Larry
Get
the Cable
done.
Guy. No, he's. Dude.
You think he's that redneck when you just hang out with him?
No, it's not even who he is.
No,
his name's Dan Whitney. he's a real look. Pull the video. There's a video of him doing stand up, and you have to watch it. It's him before he did the Larry the Cable. First of all, he's a great guy. Not dissing him at all. He's a super nice guy.
Yeah,
always cool, very down to earth. Always has been. I met him like way back in the day in Montreal before he was ever famous. He was cool as fuck back then.
I've heard that.
We had some drinks together, hung out at the Comedy Works. Just very, very cool guy.
He might have a line at his front door.
But he had a.
Oh yeah.
He's killing the game.
But
he's married and you know he's having family and all that shit now. But if he wanted to, yeah, he could. But my point being is that. This guy like created a character and was doing it on the radio, and then that character became super successful, and that's just like who people think of him as now.
Right.
But it's like this is him. This is him doing stand up.
Here, I'll tell you what. You know, I just went to visit my grandma. She's got Alzheimer's disease. Tried to put her in a home. It's a nice place. It's called. Huh? She laughed when I told her that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I thought he was just born a pure redneck.
No.
Grandma's just like, nobody gets along with her. She's just like, sneak, sneak.
It's not fair to him to play this old material, so let's just cut it right there.
You got the point.
Nobody
but
wants
still,
to see
man.
Anybody's material from 1987. No, still doing comedy today no. when you started out like 2 years in and you're on some terrible TV
Think
show.
Think about when he's having a bad day and just has to play a redneck. He's like, all right, rip the fucking sleeves off. Give me this mullet.
Listen, that dude's having fun. He's having fun.
He's having fun.
You don't think he gets sick of playing redneck?
No, because he's
performing.
He's a character. It's a really funny character.
Super funny.
And he's got good jokes.
He's always writing new stuff for it.
I can't believe he's selling out Nebraska Stadium.
Dude, he makes over gigantic. $20 million a year easy.
Yeah, he's gigantic.
For sure.
He's gigantic. Just doing stand-up. And, he's his own boss. He does whatever he wants.
I think the goal now is to get a lion in my front yard.
That's right.
Callan, you want to go in on one?
Yep, I do.
Go in on a lion.
Yes, I do.
You can't go halvesies on an apex predator.
Yeah, I'll have it Monday through Friday. You get it Saturday, Sunday.
All right, good around the kids.
The cat's going to have some fucking problems. It's going to feel weird, not know where its real house is.
There's a guy in New York City.
Cats can't have two dens.
It's true.
No, the dude in New York City who had a tiger in his apartment?
He had a crocodile, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
This guy's awesome.
Motherfucker had, like, alligators and shit.
Feeding it whole chickens.
What the fuck did you think was going to happen? What was best case scenario? With this giant alligator in your tongue.
You might want to plan. You might want to plan for it.
You have to call the cops. You have to call the cops, man.
Well, the tiger fucked him up. The tiger scratched him. Yeah, the tiger was like, bitch, I'm living in a fucking apartment. I need some exercise.
It was being a tiger.
Yeah. You can't have a tiger in your goddamn apartment in Harlem.
No.
In his one-bedroom studio. The tiger freaked out, son.
You
needs
could
fucking
see,
run.
See some, like, crazy dude. Who like thinks he's Neo in the Matrix and he's got some long coat on and he doesn't want anybody to know he's got like extra bolts in his door and you go inside and he's got a menagerie of fucking animals in there, tigers and lions and shit in his apartment. I told you I got a tiger in my house. This motherfucker really has a tiger in an apartment.
His thought cloud over his head is constantly, I win. Nobody knows, but I win. I have the best pet. I have the strongest pet.
Not even that. He's like the fucking neighborhood mystery. You know, nobody wants a
pet. He has zero friends. If you have an alligator in your bathtub and your best friend's a tiger, a pet tiger, you have zero friends.
Okay, but let me look at it from his point of view. What would you rather have? An alarm system that you know no one's going to give a fuck because the cops are never going to answer it anyway. Like, they kick in your door, your alarm goes off, whatever. Yeah. By the time the cops come, you're dead as fuck, okay? If someone's going to try to harm you and you're in the Harlem, the cops are going to stand outside until the dust settles and then move in. They're not there for crime prevention.
True.
They're there to write tickets and shit, okay? So would you want an alarm system that everybody knows is bullshit or a fucking tiger in your house? I'm going to say, how confident are you with a pistol, you're gonna walk out with a stereo while you're holding off a tiger, bitch,
bro. But that tiger—it's not like he was trained. It's like, all right, someone's breaking. I better let this tiger out. That tiger's fucking the robber up and you. No one's getting out alive.
Well, it'll probably once it realizes how fun it is to fuck the robber up, it'll just want to fuck you up too,
man.
Yeah.
You know, be like, why don't I wait for this motherfucker to crack open a can of ham for me?
They just decide.
Fuck him up right now. Yep. I want your stupid chicken.
Eat that tired face chicken.
They just decide.
Well, they want to kill things.
Yeah.
That's what we ignore when we put them in zoos. The most torturous aspect of zoos, it's like taking a man in his prime when he's just unbelievably attracted to women, right? And then putting him in like a glass zoo enclosure and parading naked women around him back and forth.
Right.
And some people say that that's an unfair example, but it's not because nature has reward systems.
True.
And the cats are the cleanup crew. When you get a limp, when you fucked it, your design didn't work well. Guess what? People with thicker anchors, they survive.
Yep.
The thicker ankled people survive. You thin ankled motherfuckers gotta go.
That's
okay.
Cankles.
Thinning the herd.
Yeah.
Thinning
the
herd.
I talked to
fucking Samoan babies that can run fast. I mean, that's what's gonna survive if tigers are everywhere.
In the San Diego Zoo, there was a jaguar, and the woman who tends to the cats was there, and I said, if I walked in that cage, would that thing attack me? And she said, it would kill you. And I said, you didn't seem to hesitate. She goes, nope, it's a predator. It'll kill you. And I said, what are the chances you think of a human fighting something like that? She goes, well, she said, what it would do is it would bite you, and it would keep adjusting its grip because its canines, whatever you call them, have nerves where they can sense where the juggler is. So it would just keep adjusting and then get on your juggler, and you'd go to sleep.
My boy Cody Donovan worked at he was like in the morgue in the hospital where they put the bodies in. And then at the Denver Zoo, the lady at night who would feed the tigers and all that shit, she didn't lock it good enough. Like, she whatever threw in the fucking T-bones or whatever they give them, and then she thought it would automatically locks, and it didn't. Something it messed up the door from closing.
Damn.
So she's wheeling the cart. This fucking Jaguar sneaks out from behind. Boom! And they said she died instantly because its big-ass canine went all the way through her skull, through the back of her neck. Boom! Oh, and Cody had to get the body, and he said they had to look, and it was just like this giant hole from the cat's canine. Yep. Straight through.
A Jaguar, too. I mean, that's not even a particularly... Well, they're pretty big. They're a couple hundred pounds.
They're not like huge,
no, Jags
they're
are,
not huge, though.
No,
they're not like a tiger.
They're bigger than leopards, and they're very powerful.
Well, they think Jaguars are way bigger. And they're in South America, too.
Yes.
They're going to creep
what
up.
What you know about a liger,
while
son?
We're sleeping.
I think they say they're the most pound for pound. I believe a Jaguar is the most powerful cat.
I think the most powerful cat... pound for pound is a house cat. I think they said if house cats were big, if they were big like a lion or tiger, we would be fucked.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes. You tame them. You never domesticate them. They still have all the same traits as a jungle cat. They're just smaller.
They're very powerful. Like when you see how far a house cat can leap for its body size.
It's crazy.
Well, have you ever seen that video of the tiger that jumps like 12 feet in the air to get a piece of meat?
Mm-hmm.
There's a video of them holding this meat like above this truck for this tiger, and this tiger just leaps through the air to get the meat.
Well, look at how high the wall was in San Francisco when those kids were shooting that tiger with wrist rockets.
They were throwing pine cones.
Is that what it was? And Tiger was like, I'm gonna. I thought what they were shooting with wrist rockets.
No, they were throwing pine cones at it, supposedly.
Yeah.
It was a bit from my act.
And
the tiger getting out and the look in the guy's face when the paws hit the top of the glass.
Oh, that's right.
Like, you can't.
Did
and
kill
I don't care who you are. I don't care
them.
If you're Daniel Day-Lewis. I don't care who the fuck you are. Like, I would have loved to have seen that guy's face because no one can pretend that. Killed one guy up another one. I don't know if the guy tried to help his friend or what happened, but the second guy got killed, not the first guy that got attacked.
And these were the guys throwing the pine cones at him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn.
The thing jumped the fence. Apparently they can jump 14 feet, but this fence was only 12 feet. And there was a big lawsuit threatened a big lawsuit. I don't know if it was settled. But because their fucking fence was too short, man. The tiger just had never jumped before. He'd never given a shot.
For sure someone needs to map that out better.
Well, my bit was if you got a monster in a box in the middle of the city, put a top to the box.
That'd be
like
smart.
You went through all this trouble to build all this shit this way. And you're like, is that high enough? Yeah, let's get out of here. Someone decided the 12th. Why did I put a fucking top on it? You got fake rocks.
It's true.
You got a fucking pool in there for them. How about a roof?
How about a roof?
You fuckheads. Why make it so it could jump out?
Jesus.
That's so ridiculous. That's the dumbest fucking thing ever.
Zoos are lame in general, though, man. When's the last time I went to the zoo? I went to San Diego Zoo. That lion was pissing on everybody.
Yeah.
Man. Walking back
and
forth.
That's as good a zoo as a zoo can get, but I don't like zoos.
That was the most exciting part by far. Zoos suck,
man. It's good for little kids. I take my kids.
That makes sense.
They like to look at the animals, but it's depressing. If you go...
Bums me out, man.
Yeah. Especially the primates. It's very depressing.
I was surprised at how poorly they actually eat, especially the primates. They're not fed the kind of food. It's very hard to feed them their natural diet, especially in certain ratios.
I don't think they feed the chimps... first of all, they give them mostly like vegetables, right?
They give them. A lot of them develop diabetes in captivity because there's no real set standard for how to feed a chimp. Like as far as national zoo,
what do they eat? In
all zoos
the wild?
Different. And I remember reading about. I was so shocked at how they fed these chimps. It was not good food. It was not.
You know what they really like to eat, man? They really love to eat monkeys.
That's right.
Other monkeys.
Dude, it's hard to watch. You know, they didn't know it until the 1990s, I think. There was that guy, David Attenborough.
Yep.
Is that who it was?
Yep.
Did a nature documentary in the Congo or some shit.
Yeah.
And they followed these chimps, and they had this hunting party. They took down this monkey, and they're ripping the monkey apart and eating it alive, a little colobus monkey. They see the thing screaming, the look on its face while it's eating it like ass first. It's chewing on this thing.
Pulling it apart like
pulling
this.
Pulling it apart.
Like...
And the monkey's screaming like you can't believe it's getting eaten apart. It's one of the most fucked up, disturbing videos I've ever seen. Even like,
I can't handle.
You see them looking up in the trees.
Yeah.
The main one looking up in the trees, and they're mapping where these monkeys are going, and they cut off as a group. They cut them off
like a
gang.
Yes,
they funnel them. They yes. beat the trees and they get them to go in a certain direction and then they box them
like
in.
Like West Side Story. Yeah.
And then they just tear them apart.
First.
They also found Dude. That the monkey, like chimp, young male chimps will band together and go kill other chimps from other other
groups. I didn't
groups.
Know this. Man.
Yeah, they'll even occasionally cannibalize. They'll cannibalize people from other, or chimps from other tribes. Yeah, our ancestors are assholes.
Yeah, and so are people a lot of times. They do a lot worse.
Well, of course, but
a bipolar ape.
We're not killing and eating people though, really.
Well, we are, but
we
it's
certainly
so rare.
Are. Watch,
but
watch
if you look
mice.
At the numbers, see how many fucking chimps there are in the wild, and they're doing this fucked up shit to monkeys, and then look at how many people there are. If there was as many people or chimps as there were people, it would be chaos. You wouldn't be able to leave your house. If there was as many chimps as there were people, you would never be able to get to your car. They would mug you every chance they got. They would rip your fucking feet off and fuck your ass. They would do whatever they wanted to. They would do whatever they wanted to.
I think that would be the one animal actually you definitely don't want to have
gorillas
to have an encounter.
And chimps, dude.
You may as well choose a croc because they'll kill you right away. A chimp will just take your face off
and
your genitals
off. Yeah, don't rip your
gorillas are less likely to attack you.
Yeah, they are.
Gorillas will fake you. Yep. They'll fake charge you. And you have to stay
just
on your
to scare
ground.
You, right?
It's a mock
they
charge.
They want you to get the fuck out of here. Just get the fuck out of here. You're staring at me, you crazy
and
asshole.
And the chimp's going to rip your dick and face up.
Well, we're so soft, we think it's okay to look at a wild animal in its eyes. Mm, that's how
shit,
stupid we are.
Me.
Hi.
It's a
hey,
challenge.
We're cool. We're cool, man. We're from National Geographic Society. We just come to make sure your baby's okay. Fucking crazy 800-pound silverback bursting through
people?
The trees. Gets right in your face. He's got fangs and only eats vegetables.
I know.
And
shredded.
Only designed to fuck you up.
Ugh.
And you can't even imagine what an 800-pound gorilla's strength is like, because you would think of it as like an 800-pound man, but it would really be more like a 3,000-pound man.
Yeah. It would twist your head off like this, man. Like,
just rip you to pieces. Probably more than 3,000. Probably like a 5,000-pound
man. For sure.
Some ridiculous number.
Look at the muscles on a 200-pound chimp, man, when they lose their hair.
Oh, they're disgusting. Troll-looking fucking horrible-looking beasts.
I stared at those muscles forever.
If we had as many chimps as there were people. Everybody's always down for chimps. And I'm not saying we should exterminate the chimps. Don't get me wrong. But let's just be realistic. If chimps were everywhere and they had full freedom the way people do, we'd have a fucking serious problem.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the first problem was someone said that was okay for those chimps to fucking hang out with us, man.
And if you don't think chimps will steal babies and eat them, you haven't been paying attention to the literature.
That's great, sir.
I haven't been paying attention because I'm terrified.
They will steal babies. Baboons will
from
steal
each
babies
other.
For fun.
From
baboons,
each other.
I knew. Baboons
They're
are wild as fuck.
Fucking cunts.
Yeah, baboons.
Evil, evil cunts,
when you
baboons.
Carry your baby on your back, it's not a good idea.
Baboons are creepy dog fucking monkey things. Nobody's got a pet baboon.
No.
In
some
New
people
York
do.
City. Do they?
Yes,
New York
they do.
City?
Bro. I don't know about New York City.
Well, they
City.
Do in Africa, I know. There's like baboons with fucking masks
I
on.
I feel
them.
Like every time I'm in here, I'm terrified, man.
I know.
Every time. Last time I left, it was volcanoes. It's like, you're going to die any minute, bro.
Listen,
volcanoes
this is what you
explode.
Do. Keep away from volcanoes. Don't run for office in Russia. Make sure.
Don't get a baboon because it will challenge you eventually.
We keep the chimp population to a minimum.
Yep.
Everybody was down for chimps. If chimps were like squirrels, you'd be fucked.
Yeah,
you'd you would be fucked if chimps were running through the fucking
look
park.
Look at the muscles, look.
Oh, good
this is my
googly
favorite.
Moogly, look at that thing.
Look at the muscles.
Oh, my God, they're so strong.
Go to a, well, there's a male. Where look at that.
And what's really, that's
look
the same
the
chimp, I think.
Right
but
there,
what, yeah, but what's really fucked is...
Like, pure balls on them.
He's got some balls and
that's
no
what
dick.
They all look like. Yeah. We just usually see them covered in hair and we don't realize it.
That's right. Got some thick wrists on that guy. And those hands built for brutality.
Look at his nuts.
Built to pull your
look
eyes out
nuts.
Of your head.
With no dick.
No, just,
well, no, he
no
has
wonder
a dick.
He's ferocious.
He has a dick. He's probably playing with it, man. He's probably holding it up with his extra long fingers.
You're not putting him in a rear naked choke.
Well, you're not doing anything to him.
No.
Oh my God, he would laugh at you.
Bro, look at that gorilla
yeah,
down there.
That gorilla's a different thing.
Yeah. And
what?
Oh, my
oh
God.
Lord.
Jesus fucking Christ.
What the fuck?
He's so big. Oh, my God. That thing's so big.
6 foot, 600 pounds.
Again, not
could
messing with a very big piece, though.
Oh, no. They have tiny dicks, as
tiny,
a matter
tiny.
Of fact. There's a yeah. difference. And notice how he has tiny balls, too. Here's what's interesting. Give you a little science. There's and with primates, there's a direct relationship with the size of the testicles and the promiscuousness of the surrounding women. So the more the women are just fucking everything, buck wild up in here, the more the dude's balls get big. And that exists in cultures as well.
Oh, for sure. I live in L.A.
Yeah.
My balls are
look
huge.
At- Humans have the largest dicks, though, of all the primates per capita. Yeah. You know, per size, per right. measurement.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you measure this pound for pound, our dicks are the biggest because we're the biggest hoes.
Yep.
Not necessarily. Like us and bonobos.
Bonobos fuck a lot, huh?
But our dicks are bigger. Yeah. The thing about gorillas' dicks and balls is that the gorillas are so fucking unchallengeable. They could have little tiny puds and they still get all the pussy.
Makes sense.
There's no one coming along. There's no giant gorilla just stroking it, sitting by the side of the fucking pond, eating bamboo shoots with a giant shillelagh, just letting all the other gorillas know. Like,
with a
Shiva-like
lingam.
Get over. Fuck this one-inch killer you've been fucking with. Because gorillas have one-inch dicks.
That's so disappointing.
But if you look at it in a gorilla's way, a big dick is a big target. You want to get your dick bit by a snake. Might be the difference between survival and death when you're out there living in the fucking jungle. Okay.
I guess, but
you want a tiny dick with a pee hole so small that one of those little ball-eating fish can't swim up there and eat your ball sack out from the inside like they're known to do.
I heard back in the day, like in the Roman times, a big dick you were made fun of is like looked down upon. Is that true?
No.
It's the same today. It's like the internet. It's like the internet. The Roman days were like Twitter. If you have a big dick on Twitter, but you fucking, the blood goes to it, you become a retard. Your body, proven the body can't support a dick that big.
Roman statues, the aesthetic was to keep the penis small because it took away from the body and how hard it was to chisel like a realistic body and foot and all that out of the marble. So you kept that area.
But
so
I heard the story. I bet there's a bunch of dudes jacking off on a statue of a giant cock. They probably took the cock and they were butt fucking the statue in the middle of the square, like backing each other up on the statue of this giant cock.
I just heard back in the day if you had a big old dick in the Roman times, they made fun of you. Like you're an outcast.
No.
That's hilarious.
I don't think so.
Make fun, boys. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh. Real funny, fellas.
Real funny, man. Sorry about my heavy dick.
Could you imagine if that is the one person, that's the one group of humans that will never get sympathy if you mock them? Dudes with big dicks.
No matter what.
I mean, just different races, different nationalities, different genders. There's all sorts of categories where you're not allowed to mock people because it's rude. Even white people. There's people get mad that you're mocking white people. Like, man, why don't you fucking leave us white people alone? You know, all the privilege that white people have, it's still not enough for you to be able to mock them. Dudes with giant dicks, you got a green light. If you can find something about that guy that you can make fun of, if you can make fun of that dude, nobody's gonna back him up. Nobody's gonna come along and say, "Hey, dude, with the big giant dick, you know, man, I feel your pain." It's the bullshit they're mocking your giant, super fucking alpha hog, that giant dick super that all the women want, that huge veiny monster of destruction that you're swinging in your pants.
Your giant boof.
The one thing that a dude cannot own up to. I mean, we just can't. No matter what you do, you make all the money in the world. That guy's got a giant dick. And if he bangs her, she's gonna remember.
She's gonna remember that giant thing.
And you can't pay for it either.
How about Loveline? We did Loveline, and the open forum was, "Does size matter?" And literally every girl but one was like, "Absolutely."
Dudes will tell you it doesn't matter. It's wishful thinking, bitches. Everything matters.
Dr. Drew was like, "No, it doesn't matter."
Silly boy. No, he said it does matter. I thought.
Well, he's got a piece on him apparently.
Well, that's what they told us.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, it was funny.
I need proof. I need a dick pic, Doug.
Yeah, what's a piece? Yeah, you know, it's like, guys, I took karate in high school. Okay.
Yeah. How much karate did you really do?
Well, I've been doing martial arts since I was a kid. What'd you do? You and your brother hit a brick with a fucking flashlight in your backyard? Yeah. Like we did.
Every guy exaggerates how much they bench and how fast a runner they were. Oh, I ran a 4.5 40. Well, the NFL.
How about your friend? Goes, "Yeah, I ran a 4.6 in the 40. I went, "Well, no, you didn't." He goes, "Oh, I benched 385 though, three times in high school."
Although, why would he say that though? That means he's admitting the first one was a lie.
Listen,
that was bullshit. But I'm an Eagle Scout.
I'm an Eagle Scout.
I made that shit. I did make Eagle Scout. I got a badge.
I saw a grown man who was an Eagle Scout at the airport, and he was pushing 45, and he was an Eagle Scout.
Using the full getup?
Sure was.
Oh, he's molesting kids. Yes, he 100%.
Is. Well, he's a Scout Master.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I mean, he might have earned the rank of Eagle Scout,
but he's not in the Boy Scouts anymore.
Right. He's like running these Scout trips.
He can make fire out of two sticks. Shady shit.
Oh, dude, weird guy.
Join the military.
I remember I was a kid and I was in the Boy Scouts. I was probably like So when I was living in Boston, so I think I was probably like 13. That was when I was in the Boy Scouts. I was only in it for like 1 year. Whatever it was, 13 or 14.
I was living
in Jamaica Plain. And my mom took me to the Boy Scout thing. And this fucking dude who was a Scoutmaster was hitting on my mom. like hard. And my mom was like blushing and she was trying to be polite about it. But I remember like, this is creepy. This dude's hitting on my mom in front of me and I got to go camping with this asshole. And he was like, hey, what's up with your mom? Like, she's married to my dad.
Yeah,
fuck off.
You're getting extra marshmallows and shit.
I didn't get any extra marshmallows. I went to camp with a bunch of fucking hoodlums. It was a scary camp.
Really?
I didn't do any of the shit we're supposed to do. I hid during the day. Like, we're supposed to do all these different activities. Took my fishing rod, went down to the lake. I checked out early.
Joe, the individual.
I checked out right
Doesn't
away.
Doesn't play well with us.
Dude, not a team
no,
player.
No. Dude, there was ricochets, okay? Dudes were, he gave kids 22s, and they were shooting at rocks.
What
and we're hanging
fuck?
Out there, but there was like an archery range. Jesus. And while we're hanging out by the archery range, I hear, pew! And I go, what the fuck is that? And someone goes, it's a ricochet. I go, what do you mean it's a ricochet? They're like, someone over by the rifle range probably hit a rock. I go, it goes all the way the fuck over here? Like, what are you talking about,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, just keep fishing, bro.
This is the Boy Scouts in New Hampshire, okay? Yeah. Listen, survival of the fittest. They would take kids, pull them out of their cots, like pick their cots up, and tie them up and leave them in the middle of the woods. And it was pitch dark. You couldn't see your hand.
I went to camp out there. I got molested. Mm.
Did you?
Yes.
What happened? Oh, you talked about this.
I know,
you didn't tell this story on the podcast?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. It wasn't. I mean,
it doesn't
molested
matter.
Was,
what are you, a girl? You're going to tell us a story?
Yeah, dude.
Oh,
well,
it doesn't matter.
Tell the story, though. Didn't he?
Well,
didn't,
yeah.
Like, Officer Greg suck your dick? So,
well, no.
Someone
I woke
sucked
up,
your dick?
I woke up with, yeah. with Dan. His name was with a fistful of my dong. And I
fistful.
And I had a morning boy hard on, and I was like, "What's going on?" And he was like, "Doing this." I was like, "I do this usually. Why is he doing this?" I remember going, "I do this. Why is he?" It didn't occur to me. So I go to my buddy Donnie.
How old
I go,
at the time?
Probably 11. And I go to my buddy Donnie. I go, "Hey, man, this guy, you know me." I'm like, "This guy Dan was playing with my dick." And my buddy John goes, "He's playing with my dick too." And Donnie goes, "He sucked mine." And I go, "I'm telling my mom." So I waited like a little tiger in the
he
tall grass.
Sucked mine.
Yep.
Donnie got his dick sucked.
Yeah,
he was getting it done repeatedly.
He wasn't like
Real
a
quick,
violent.
Callan got molested as a kid.
Sure did. Wasn't a violent guy. Oh. He was probably a guy who he had a beard. I remember with a bald head, terribly athletic, not athletic at all. I threw a ball at him and he clapped like he was clapping at a bug. And then he just loved boys. And I went and told my mom.
How'd you tell your mom?
Well, my mom wasn't there, so she didn't come for about 2 weeks. And he kept asking me why I wasn't going on more trips because I was just taken. I was like not signing up for any more canoe
trips.
Was
it just that one time? Because you were there for 2 weeks.
It was
Did
just
you get your dick sucked
no.
By
I was
Greg?
There for longer than that. I was in camp for 2 months, I believe.
Did
I
he suck your
exactly.
dick?
No, he never sucked my dick.
Just
how close
Donnie's.
Did he get to it?
He just had it. Well, he was.
It was hard.
We were all in the tent. It was probably me and like a couple of guys, and he had his hand in my sleeping bag. Playing with my little wiener.
Give me like a jujitsu position. Does he have you in side control?
Nope, I'm lying next to him.
Is
You're
he ski poling?
And oh. he's looking.
Ski poling.
He's looking.
Tents are small, bro.
Yeah.
There's three kids. He's probably like this. Two fistfuls.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Sucking Donnie off.
Well, whoa. I know that I was looking.
You were in a threesome with Donnie.
I was looking. I had woken up like this.
Weird.
I was in a threesome probably.
Probably.
And.
This explains so much.
I know.
Why are you fucking rubbing your head? That's got to be an internet meme. This explains so much. Callan was molested.
I was molested.
I don't know. It's fucked up to laugh, man.
Why are you laughing at that? That's so rude.
There's a big difference between being molested and then being fucked. And so, you know, for me,
he
and
was
I knew
minorly
that.
Molested.
You're crazy if you don't think Donnie was fucking him, too.
No, I think Donnie...
We need
Donnie
to reach out to Donnie.
Donnie didn't want me to tell anybody. And I was like, I'm telling my mom.
I almost got molested by a guy.
Yeah.
Came real close. Didn't realize that the guy was creeping on me until the very end.
Neither did I.
I thought he was nice. I thought he was nice, but he was getting weird. He was getting weird, and he was showing up drunk.
How did you know him?
I used to go fishing near this place called Jamaica Pond. And Jamaica Pond was this place in Jamaica Plain where I lived that had really good fishing. Like, I could walk to it. Seems weird, but that's, you know, Boston, it rains a lot. You know, you have, like, ponds and lakes and shit, like, sometimes near cities. And this was a real legitimate trout pond. And we would go fishing there all the time. You'd catch bass there, trout. But they would stock it with rainbow trout. And I loved fishing back then. I'd fish all the time. I'd fish every day after school. So much fun. It was just peaceful. And it's fun catching fish. You know, it's like one of those things.
Too.
Kids love it, you know. When I caught my first trout, I was like, holy shit. Like, I brought it in, and I picked it up, and, you know, I took it home, and I cooked it. I couldn't believe I caught a fucking trout.
Right.
You know? And then it was very exciting to me. Anyway, this dude used to jog by. And he used to talk to me and my friend Josh.
I love how Brendan can't stop laughing.
We used to go fishing at this place all the time. Dude's probably dead now because I was it was before I moved to Newton. I moved to Newton when I was 14, so I was living in Jamaica Plain. I was probably 13-ish, somewhere around then. And he's probably in his, like, late 50s. So he comes around, and, you know, he'd ask us about fishing, like, what do you catch? Like, sit down with us for a little bit and talk with us. Very friendly. And then he'd take off. And he kept doing it, like, over and over again. Come by, very friendly.
Softening you up?
Yep, softening us up.
Feelers.
He would offer us some food. He would give us some food, like a cake or something. He'd probably, like, rub his balls all over. Yeah. I have no idea, right? Yeah. He'd probably give you, like, a cookie that he just had deep in his ass. Like, I had no idea.
I ran it over my crack.
Who knows what he did, right? But I didn't know any better, man. I was 13. I just didn't know any better. I had one experience when I was younger, when I was, like, 7 years old. I was at a library in San Francisco. And I was looking at these books, and I was looking at these monster books, and this guy came up to me like, you like monster books? And I go, yeah. And he goes, I got monster books out in my car. I go, oh, really? And I start going out to this guy's car, and the lady who's the librarian screams out, Joseph, you get away from that man.
Damn,
yeah, that
dude.
Man just got out of jail. So I run away.
Damn, dude, he's probably going to.
Who knows? Who the fuck knows?
Fuck, man.
Most likely molest me. I dodged.
In the if it's a good
or
day,
kill right, you,
could be killed me. Yeah,
dang,
I'm like
man.
Seven at the most. At the most, I'm 8.
Yeah, I'm not laughing anymore.
Scary shit. So I had that in my past. Like I remembered that I dodged that bullet. So this dude, man, so stupid, man. I had lunch over this guy's house before, just me and him. This is where it started getting weird. I peed in his bathroom, and one of the things he said to me, he goes, you're very developed. And I said, what? And he goes, your penis is very developed for a boy your age. That's a very good thing. I was like, oh, okay. But he didn't get creepy with me. I mean, I was over the dude's house. It was creepy, but you know what I'm saying?
That's creepy as fuck.
He didn't try to fuck me.
He probably loved you.
He just said that.
He wanted to.
Whatever it was. It got real weird after that. So that was probably the beginning of the weirdness.
Hell
so,
yeah.
So I definitely told Josh. I was like, dude, he said that like my dick was developed. Like he's looking at my dick, and Josh was like, whoa. And Josh was an interesting character too. Like he that kid knew a lot of shit. He knew about like weird sexual shit like way early. Because his mom was a lesbian.
There's always
his
one
mom
of those
lived
guys.
With this woman who looked like a truck driver. It was hilarious. Like he knew some shit.
Stuff,
he was a sharp kid. He's like, dude, he's trying to fuck you. Like, this is gonna get ugly.
Yep.
And you know, we were talking about it. Like, do you think he's a pedophile? Like, it was like some weird shit. So then, anyway, I started avoiding the dude. And then one time I'm fishing, and there was two areas. There was one area where Jamaica Pond was the big area, and then there was this other smaller pond that was off like a few blocks to the left. Sometimes we would go to that pond because no one ever went there, and it did have some good fish in there. And every now and then, like, it had different kind of fish. It had like pickerel and all these different kind of fish. So he shows up. It's just me and him, and it's just kind of an isolated area. There's a lot of trees and shit. It's not like Jamaica Pond, which has this big running track. This
is
like
sweats.
This was sketch. This is sketch.
Yeah.
And he tells me that he loves me.
What?
And yeah. And I don't know what to do. Like, I'm sitting there fishing. And I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I like you too, man. And he goes, no, I love you. And there cannot be no true love. There can be no true love without sex.
Holy shit.
Now, I remember
shnikes.
Him saying that. And I remember going, what? Like, what? And I remember I had a knife. I had a Swiss Army knife, one of those little red plastic handle Swiss Army knives. And I had it in my pocket. And I put my hand on the knife. And I didn't want to pull it out. But I wanted to have it on me, you know? And I remember thinking, I might have to fucking stab this guy.
Chop like, that dick up.
I don't know. I mean, first of all, I'm probably going to get killed. I'm 13.
Dang,
I didn't know how to fight back
and
then.
And he's a big dude.
I wasn't big. He was bigger than me. He was an old guy.
Yeah, grown-ass
he's
man.
He's a grown-ass man.
Yeah, sweatsuit.
And if he knew how to fight at all, I was fucked. I didn't have any martial arts experience back then.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why I started getting into martial arts is after this. I figured, like, I have to know something. Like, if this guy beats me up and fucking kills me and stabs me, like, no one's going to hear me. I'm in this, like, really kind of wooded area. And so I told him, you better fucking leave me alone or something like that. You know, whatever words I was able to muster being scared out of my mind at 13. And then years later, after I had moved, this is where it got really creepy. He sent a letter to my house. And I was like 16 or 17
Relentless.
Or something like that. Yeah, he sent a letter to my house many, many years later. He found out where I moved to, found out where my house was. I had never told him my house in the first place. And this guy sent me a letter. It was really creepy, man. I read this long. It was almost like a love letter to me.
Oof.
It was really creepy. And I just thinking, if I see this guy, Jesus Christ.
He was truly in love.
Red alert.
Me and my buddy Michael in Saudi Arabia.
He fell in love with that dick.
He saw my juicy dick.
That's what it was.
And that's the turning point. That's what we lost.
That's an insane story, though.
One of the most traumatic experiences for me, I was in Saudi Arabia with my buddy Michael. And in Saudi, there was nowhere to play. So you would just go play in these like abandoned lots and, you know, whatever. We'd find cars that were old, but you'd break them up. As you're doing what 13-year-olds do, 14, 13. And I'll never forget, I see a guy. I couldn't understand what the guy was doing at the trunk of his car. I was like, what is that guy doing? And I realized I got closer. It was the most bizarre thing. There was a guy in the trunk of the car with his ass out of the car. So oh he had God. His ass sticking out of the trunk of the car, this giant hairy ass. And another guy had his robe lifted up, and he was standing there.
In Saudi Arabia?
Fucking the guy in his ass.
How old are you at the
so
time?
I could just see an ass sticking out of a trunk. And he had his, I was 13.
How old are you? 13?
Me and my friend Michael. And he was jamming. He was fucking him standing up. And I was like, and I go, I remember I go, I was kind of the leader of us too. And I go, I see it. He looks at me and he didn't say anything. He just looks at me with a blank expression as he's just drilling some poor gimp in some Cadillac. And I remember, I go, Michael, let's run away. I've never run faster. In my life. You know when you can't feel your legs? I was just like,
scared, man.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't have any molest stories.
I do. I have another one.
That's a crazy one, though. So that guy, what did he do when he saw you running away from him?
Nothing.
Did he try to finish
did
real
he
fast?
Continue?
Just looked at me with heavy eyes.
And kept banging the dude?
Uh-huh. Whoa. Kept thrusting.
What do you think would happen if he just stood there, like, unimpressed? Like,
oh, that
that's what you should have done, like,
that's
rap
you
style. Or you just stood him down and just went like...
Let me know when you're done. I'll show you how it's done. Let me know when you're finished.
The worst audience member ever at a comedy club. You know, these guys...
Oh,
that's like the last thing you'd ever want to see. Imagine that. Are you doing that to him while he's fucking a guy in the ass in a trunk?
Seemed better.
Poor technique. You got molested again, though, Callum?
Weak
strokes. Well, no, I remember I met an older dude, and we were he was a cool guy. We hung out.
That's how it starts.
I always starts with older dude. We were in Wisconsin.
In a sweatsuit.
We're in Wisconsin. The Northwoods of Wisconsin.
The North
summertime. And I remember I meet this guy, and there was this girl there. Oh, two girls, older. And we were like, oh,
How old are they?
I don't know. Who cares? Let's say
40s?
13 or something like that. 14. It was so hot. And I was
how
11.
Old were you?
11, 10, something young.
They're not that
even
old.
Younger. Younger. Because I'll tell you why I know I was younger. So I'm hanging out with this guy. And we keep, and I was such a little pervert.
How old is he?
But I'm going to tell you how I know he was a lot older. Ready? This is the point. So. I actually say we should try to have sex with those girls. I'm trying to conspire. I don't know how old I was. Or at least I was like, we should try to see their boobs. I don't know what I was saying to him. He goes, yes, that's a great plan. So we're talking. He goes, come, we have to go to the woods and come up with a plan. So I'm So I'm like, all right. So we go to the woods.
God damn it. No wonder you've been molested several times.
The next thing I know, this is coming to me now. The next thing I know, he pulls his pants down and I notice how hairy his ass is. So I go, that's weird. There's his dick and his ass, and he lies down, and he goes, do you want to rub on top of me or no? And I go, I don't think so. I was like,
Do you want to rub on top of me or no?
And I was young enough to have to think about it.
Imagine if that's his like fucking go-to line.
I swear to God.
You know, how do you get these kids to fuck you? Dude, this is all you have to do. You lie down and you go, do you want to rub on top of me or no? And they always just start fucking you.
And then a couple of kids go, yeah,
they just
sure.
Spit on your asshole and start pounding away. They all do it. It's like hypnosis.
But he lied down with his legs straight. It wasn't like he was bent, legs straight. Lay down. You want to rub up top of me or no? And I go, I don't think. I looked at his hairy ass. Yeah. I saw the crack and I was like, do I say yes? I was like, this is vaguely sexual. And I go, no, I don't think so. So then he gets up and he goes, all right, well, just hold on for a second. And he starts, I'm going to show you something. And I go, all right. He starts jerking off.
Oh, jeez.
And I go, all right, I've done. I go, I tickle my tutu too. I used to rub
tickle
it on the bed.
Tickle my tutu?
Yeah, that's what my mother called it. So I go, so he's wanking off. And that was the first time he goes, hold on, ready? And I go, yeah. And he comes.
On you?
He busted in your face?
No, not in my face. He just shoots. And I go, what the fuck? I go, what's that white? I couldn't believe seeing white stuff. It was the first time I saw somebody ejaculate.
Bro, hold on. Jesus. You were watching this dude jack off in the woods for a solid 4 minutes.
Hey, man,
and
it just came to me.
Him? What were you saying to him?
I don't remember. It was so long ago. He goes, but he kept
Jim.
Going. He kept
get
going.
It, Jim.
Hold on.
What do you call this, mister?
Yeah, hold on. He was like, watch this. Wait for it. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Wait for it.
Well, yeah. And
what's going to happen?
And then we went. And then we left and we went and spied on those girls.
You hung out with them after that.
I did. I sure did.
You watched a grown man jack off bust near you, not on your face.
Yeah.
Then you went to go find chicks
with them.
That's
right.
So you know what, man? When you're 11 years old, weird shit can happen to you.
Not to this 11-year-old.
You got lucky.
Hell no.
You got lucky. But I'm not saying that would have happened. You would have stood around while the guy jerked off. But I am saying it's possible that a guy, when you were 11, could have lied down and say, hey, you want to rub on top of me or no? And you would have been like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You would have said no, 100% no.
I didn't say 100%.
No,
for sure. No, I don't.
I thought about it because I thought that looks like
pure pressure. The guy'd be down there. You might be surprised.
Right.
He'd be like,
I would not be surprised. I just thought I could pretend that's a girl. I could rub against that and pretend it's a girl.
You can pretend it's a girl. What? Wait, hold on.
It was a crack.
Where the fuck? Are you revealing? Just like, is this a confession thing?
Guys,
where, like, you wanted to let a little bit of it out, and we were talking about funny shit. You're like, no, I still have to add some stuff that I did that was kind of, I was thinking about.
There's just a couple million people listening. Biggest podcast ever.
This was last week, guys. And
what? The guy looked like the Iron Sheik in his prime. Thick as fuck.
Jacking off the gallon's
face. Monster hairy asshole.
Smells like
Jesus
woods leather.
Fucking
I'll tell
Christ,
you what bothers
son.
Me about the story is you watched him for several minutes jack
sure
off
did,
and ejaculate.
Yes. Sure did. I didn't know. I just didn't know what was going to happen.
We found video of the guy. We have the guy. Pull up that video of my on my Twitter feed of the Russian dude doing kettlebells in the snow with no shirt on.
What?
This is why you shouldn't fuck with Russians.
They're
a different
shit.
Kind of human.
Yeah.
And everybody's freaking out about this Putin stuff, like Putin assassinate or allegedly. Yeah. Putin's actually investigating it, and he's quite upset that
he's
this happened.
He's very upset. He wrote a letter to the guy's mother.
So, anyway, bottom line is... Russia is a different fucking. Yeah. It's a different beast.
He's still stuck on. He's still stuck on the jacking off.
Look at this video of this dude. There's a video of this dude. He's in the fucking snow in Russia, and he's doing the Man Maker. It's on the Keith Weber kettlebell cardio workout series. He does the entire Man Maker. No fucking shirt
on.
That's a rough guy in the winter. Hard to tell how much that kettlebell weighs. It depends on the construction of it. It's either 35 pounds or 50 pounds.
Is that an Onnit bell?
No. This is the motherland. They don't want Onnit up there. It looks about 50 pounds,
that
right?
That dude's in shape, too.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah, he is. Watch him do this shit, man. The dude's stacked. He does this with no shirt on in fucking Russia in the winter. And he talks Russian to his dog who waits for him. You know what? You know
it's
why?
Just a different breed,
because this guy's throwing this fucking 50-pound kettlebell around like it ain't shit. Yeah. And he's doing it over and over again. Switch hands,
if
neck size.
If you survived Russian history, that was a distillation process.
This is
deep squad.
This is some warrior genetics you're looking at here.
Yep.
This guy's a fucking stud. Oh, by the way, he might be 70.
Oh, and both of you are lucky. This isn't the guy who's trying to fuck both of you as kids.
Oh, yeah, you're damn right about that.
Well, he doesn't look like a tall fella. He's not a very big fella.
No, he's short for sure.
But this guy's a tank.
Yeah.
Because he's rattling these fucking... I mean, I don't know how much that weighs. It might only be 35 pounds.
Dude, that looks pretty... looks heavier than 35.
I think that's heavier.
It looks like a 50 to me.
It looks like a 75.
No, it would be 72, I think.
Oh,
70 or 72.
That looks heavy, Joe.
I don't know. It might be.
It's the size of his head.
Yeah, but there's some ones that they make that are really light.
Bulky,
they look
too.
Like that, but they're really light.
I'm going to say
used
that's
them before.
Heavy.
Like, if you see those colored ones, you ever see the ones that are colored?
Yeah.
Those are light as fuck.
And they're big.
Big. They look like you're using superhuman strength, and it's like 30 pounds.
But that thing is as big as that his Russian head. He's got a big Russian head.
That looks like a real like Dragon Door style or one of the Onnit ones. It's all cast iron. If that's the case, that's probably 50 pounds.
That dude's just way tougher than me.
Yeah, look at this motherfucker. He's just switching hands. Clean press. The entire time we've been talking, this guy has never taken a break. He's just throwing around this 50-pound kettlebell.
Kind of awesome. I gotta take my kettlebell workouts way more seriously.
Are those ankle weights
he's wearing,
though?
Behind
that's
him.
The only thing I
no,
question.
Those are fucking Let's Get Physical socks. look at the people behind him freezing,
a lot
covered
of fun
up
to live
like
there.
They're Bedouins.
Freezing.
That's a good time to live there, huh?
Yeah. This guy's an animal. This is the best way
what
to
else
like,
you gonna do,
stay
though?
Warm
yeah.
in the winter. Just keep doing this. Maybe this is a strategy. You know how you go to those cryotherapy places and they keep the inflammation down?
Yeah.
Maybe if you do like fucking heavy workouts like this while you're in the middle of a snowstorm, it might actually aid your performance.
Bad idea.
You know what I'm saying? Because like you think
for
about
reals.
What this guy's doing, this is all about the burnout. These are all like high rep exercises he's doing.
The blood's flowing.
Yeah, blood's
it's
flowing.
It's cold.
Mm-hmm.
pushing the inflammation out.
He's doing one-arm presses and then full deep squats. So this guy, in the course of us watching him, we're assuming that's about 50 pounds, has probably done like, what, 30 or 40 deep squats with that 50-pound kettlebell over his head, and he continues to do it. He's an animal.
Yeah, he's an animal.
Look at him. But doing it like this while it's freezing out with no shirt on, it also it makes you keep the pace up. You don't want to get cold.
Those socks.
That's a chow. That's a chow. The dog is a chow, ladies and gentlemen.
Socks are perfect. He's got Olivia Newton-John blaring in his Russian-built car.
I think their ankles.
This motherfucker's
ankle,
doing windmills, son. Windmills after
now.
All this with that 50 pounds.
Oh.
That shit is not easy.
I guess that's a chow. That's one of those.
Yeah, that's a weird Russian dog. Yeah.
No, it's a chow.
Nah.
It's 100% Chow. 100% Chow, by the way.
Are they Russian descent?
No, they are Chinese.
Yeah. Which is right next to Russia.
Good point.
Well, all right.
Motherfucker, that thing wandered into his yard one day. Come with me, your friend, comrade.
Comrade.
You live with me.
I give
you scraps.
Kettlebells.
You bark when people come to me and I kill.
He's struggling a little bit on this side.
Of course he is. This motherfucker's working hard.
That's 100 reps deep, though.
Yeah, he's working hard, man.
Yeah, he's a stout little man.
This is a savage fucking workout for a no-shirted man in the middle of snow.
Yeah. That dude wants to rape kids. We're all fucked.
That dog doesn't give a fuck about the cold, by the way. Look at him. That dog might
as well
be in
Tahiti. Look how much hair he has on, man.
Yeah. It's pretty dope to be a dog like that and live in a place like that.
Yeah.
Everybody else is suffering. You're like,
oh, this is what I was thinking. Do you think homeless dogs have the best lives of any dog? Because they're outside all the time. And so they do feed them, but they're out. You know what I'm saying? Like
as long
free.
As their dogs are pack animals, so as long as they have a pack to be with, yes. If they're alone, no.
But no. I'm saying they have an owner, but he's homeless.
This Russian motherfucker has not stopped. Somebody
crazy.
Needs to dub us talking about this guy over his video and send it to him. Respect, comrade.
Respect, dog.
Respect, we give to you respect.
It's true. He's a badass.
Fucking savage. Look at him. He's still going.
God.
He's still going. That guy, that's a lot of goddamn reps this guy's
done really
in 5 minutes.
Shape.
He's a CrossFitter.
Please, don't insult, please, from motherland.
From motherland.
These are kettlebells.
Then I drink
this
vodka.
This is Russia.
I drink vodka all night.
Have you ever seen that picture of young Fedor in front of kettlebells?
No.
Maybe one of the best pictures ever of a fucking post-training session.
Oh, I need
really?
To see that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Post-training session, great super athlete. Because the kettlebells, being a Russian invention, you know, like you see Fedor with all these kettlebells around him, it sort of signifies, like, this was a different motherfucker.
A man made from
Russian
iron.
Russian sambo champion. Look at that fucking photo.
Oh.
God damn, son.
And he was thin.
Well, he had very little body fat, but he was very thick muscled.
Look
back
at
then.
The back on that.
He had less body fat back then, but more muscle. He was a big fucker. But that's also, he's pumped. Like, he's probably just worked out, in which you get real thick because you're
true.
All pumped up.
You don't
blood.
Get more masculine
than that dude? Yeah.
No.
How about the fact that he never gave a fuck about his gut?
He's just
didn't give a fuck.
He's Russian.
Didn't give a fuck. Just went in there dropping bombs.
Is he married?
On people. Yeah, he's been married and divorced a couple times.
He does paintings and shit, too.
He does?
He does art. Yeah, he does, like, drawings and
is
shit.
Good?
It's not the best shit you've ever seen.
Well, it's not bad. It does, like, cartoons. It's weird. It's weird. It's, like, the shit, like, a real serial killer thinks of.
For sure.
When they're not there smashing people's heads
well,
in.
Well, his brother's a fighter and was spent a lot of time in jail, I think, right?
His brother's a maniac.
His brother's a different level.
Prison tattoos. Like, his on his back, there's a picture of, like, the angel of death holding a baby.
Well, that's not gangster
shit. Yeah, it's all prison tattoo shit. You never seen it? Look at pull that up. Alexander Emelianenko's tattoos. He's in jail right now for rape.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't know
really
whether or not
guy.
He did it, but he's definitely an alcoholic. He definitely gets drunk, and he's very different than Fedor, whereas Fedor is, like, completely composed, like, very disciplined. Alexander also had some, like, some significant losses. Like, he lost in pride to Mirko. Mirko head-kicked him.
Yep.
Yeah. But this is, like, look at his back. That's, like, the angel of death holding a baby.
Oh,
it's
no.
weird. Yeah, he's got weird, like... He had these ones on his shoulders, but he had them taken off. It was like they had these gang tattoos on his shoulders, but he had them removed and changed to some sort of pattern.
He's a.
You think anyone's
stud.
Fucking with that guy in prison?
Jesus
nah.
Christ, not a good idea. That guy knocked James Thompson out in about 15 seconds.
Highly skilled,
right?
Yeah, he's a beast, dude. Alexander Emelianenko is a beast. You know, I mean, he got knocked out by Krokop, but he fought Krokop when Krokop was just on fire. Do you think that there's dudes that just, like, they hit this, like, BJ Penn level, like BJ Penn when he beat Sanchez, BJ Penn when, you know, he was, like, at his very best. Like, this is only, like, a couple of years you can keep that intensity up.
I think it's only a couple fights. I don't think it's years.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe that's where Kane is right now? That's why he's getting all these injuries? That these fucking Junior Dos Santos wars were just so insanely
on
taxing?
On both of them. I think Junior's not the same after those wars either.
No, I don't think so either.
But you got to remember, too, back in those Pride days, those guys were fighting a lot more frequent. So we got to see the very best of when they were, you know, at their prime.
Yeah.
And now in the UFC, you know, you fight. If you're a star 2 times a year, maybe 3. Mm-hmm. Granted, people would say, "Oh, Cowboy." That I'm talking about, you know, when a guy, a superstar, he's fighting maybe twice a year. Now, think if it was back in the day, we'd see him 3-4 times.
And you remember when they used to make these fights? They put the fight together within like 3 or 4 weeks of the fight.
Yeah,
it would what happens in the UFC when there's a fallout would happen in Pride all the time. It would happen in Pride instead of like you having like 8 weeks to prepare. Like, they would tell you, like, a couple weeks out. Like, occasionally, there would be, like, a long wait, you knew. Like, when the open weight Grand Prix tournament, pretty much, we knew who it was. But then, last minute, like, guys were getting added. Josh Barnett, I think, was one of the later additions. I might be wrong about that, though. But, I mean, you look at that lineup. Barnett, Nogueira, Crow Cop, Hunt. Like, Jesus
fucking
Christ.
Man.
Those days, man.
Toughest motherfuckers on the planet.
Yeah, it's interesting when you think about that time, the Wild West days of Pride, you know, head stomps and soccer kicks on the ground when Vanderlei fought Tamura, and he was holding onto the rope and stomping on his face.
Bro,
he
when Krokop fought Ron Waterman and soccer kicked him in the face.
Oh yeah, man. Oof, I forgot good about that God. Fight. Yeah, and Ron Waterman ate it too. He ate a couple of those.
Waterman was one of my first training partners.
I'm not, big
he
fuck,
tapped me
dude.
Out with his titties. Got in my guard and just smothered me with his titties. That strong, man. Almost God, broke my nose.
Damn.
Jesus.
You know, I knew nothing at the time. That's my training partner boy. Was Ron Waterman and Shane Carwin, my first 2 training partners. And they just rotated on me and just dismantled
that's
me.
That's a terrible idea. I wish I was your friend back then.
That'd been
nice. Did you have to? Did you have to? Did you have
to? Yes.
I would have said, "Listen, man."
No one said
this
shit.
Not the way to do this.
Shane was like, "No, it's making you tough, man." I'm like, "I know."
Oh.
I'm like, "I know, man." But he like tapped me out with his titties and super embarrassing.
Okay, the tapping you out the titties is the least of your concerns. That is the least of your concerns.
We didn't spar.
Oh, thank God.
But you know what? Ron used to whoop my ass. And then 4 years down the road, B-Shop was working on a stand-up, and he comes in to spar. I'm like, yes. Oh, yeah. Me and Shane put it on him.
Well, he was a big guy, but he didn't move that good.
No, he's real stiff, but so strong.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy strong.
Do you remember Dan Bobish?
No.
God damn. Dan Bobish was a dude who was in the – he lost to Mark Kerr. In the UFC, where Kerr got on top of him and stuck his chin in his eye socket.
Damn.
He used to be allowed to stick your chin in someone's eye socket. So dudes would get a hold of your head. They would shove their chin, like get the mount or something like that. You know, any position where they get on top of you, and they can balance out. And they would get their hand behind your head and then get your fucking chin right in your eyeball and just squeeze. And, you know, your eye's on fire. You get blowout fractures of your eyes. Guys are seeing sparks and
some meathead shit.
You got a giant man like Mark.
I never
Kerr
even thought of that. That's so vicious.
See if you could find that. It's Mark Kerr taps Dan Bobish with his chin. Yeah, I was there, dude. I interviewed him afterwards. That was the glory days.
Was his eye jacked up?
Oh, he had a tap, man.
Still
he
may
had a
have
chin
the best
in his
body. Still may have the best body in those American flag shorts of
super
any.
Super nice guy too.
Yeah, great guy.
Steve Kerr,
nicest guy.
Mark Kerr.
Super
260,
nice guy.
About 260.
Always a very very cool dude. Regardless of what was going on in his life, if you saw Mark Kerr, he was always
your
super
boy.
Friendly.
Your boy Ken Shamrock's fighting again.
Yeah, he's fighting Kimbo.
Crazy,
he's
fighting your boy Kimbo.
Yeah, and you know what I said? I liked about what he said. He goes, "I've earned the right to fight for fun." He goes, "Yeah, I'm doing it for money, and I'm a professional, but I've earned the right to fight for fun." He goes, I don't want to go play golf. He goes, "I don't want to go hiking. I don't want to go hunting. I don't want to go fishing." He goes, "I like fighting." He goes, "I like the camaraderie that comes with preparing for a big fight. I enjoy it." But I love the way he said it. You know, it's like very honest and refreshing. And it's true. He has earned it. Ken Shamrock's goddamn all-time great.
He's a legend.
He's a legend. You know, and
Hall of Famer.
And he had some fucking great technique back in the day, man. Ken Shamrock, man. Go to the early UFC when he tapped Pat Smith and fucked his leg up with that heel hook.
Oh, Ken Shamrock.
Dropped down for that
monster.
Heel hook. Yeah. Pat Smith had no idea what the fuck was going on.
He was fighting in Japan, right? Way before.
Fought in Pancrase. He fought in Pride for a while. He had some good fights in Pride, man. Ken Shamrock had some. He was developing some pretty decent stand-up. Like, remember that fight where, the PD My Heart, like, he had something going on with his heart. Like, his heart was beating too fast in one of his fights. Remember that? Like, he stopped the fight. I think it was Fujita. But he was putting it on him before that. Like, I was really impressed with his striking. Like, Ken Shamrock doesn't get enough credit because He fought Tito Ortiz when he was already, you know, past his prime, and his knee was fucked up when he fought Tito. The first time he fought Tito, he basically didn't have an ACL.
Wow.
Like, he was fucked up.
I was at that fight with you.
And Eddie. After the fight, it was crazy. Like, you know, Tito was still mad at him, and Ken said to him, he was just real honest about it. He goes, hey, man, we made some money. You know, we made some money. Let's let it go. You won. Congratulations. Yeah. And he gave him a hug, and, like, you could see Tito, like, noticeably calm down. You know, Tito was still mad even after he kicked his ass because all the trash talking. Ken's like, but look what happens. Like, all this trash talk, we both made a lot of money. It's over. You won. You know, like,
yeah, but then,
like,
it rekindled.
Very mellow about
it. Then it rekindled, though. Then they, the second time.
It's more money.
More money.
Get some more money. Come on.
Yeah, you're right.
Get this money, son.
I remember you and I, we talked to Tito after that fight. Remember that? A long time ago, we went there.
Well, I ran into Ken at a diner at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning the night of the fight. He was eating. And,
night of the fight,
I'm like, how do you – before it. It was into the morning. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, the day of the fight. He's going to fight the next day.
Damn.
And he's out at a diner. And he was real – he had been through so much. He had fought so many times.
That's what he does.
Like, he goes, hey, man. He goes, it only hurts after it's over.
Yeah.
That's great.
And he's, like, laughing about it. He's like, so I'm going to go fight tomorrow. Like, that was his attitude about it. This is Mark Kerr and Dan Bobish. Let's see if we could see the video of him putting his fucking cheek in his eye. See, he got him in side control. Beautiful back. Look at the size of this guy.
Certainly did.
And Dan Bobish is goddamn enormous.
Look at it. Look at Bobish's
legs. So see the way he's grabbing his head with his arm? So he gets on side control, and he gets on top of him. Can you see it? Do they have a good angle? Poor production team back then. Full mount. Chin in the eyeball. You can't see it in that angle, man.
Oh, maybe.
Can't see it, I don't think. I don't think they
have
it.
Well, if he goes to mount here, we'll be
able to
see
it. Well, that was it. I mean, that was the tap. It's over. But this is the full sequence. Let's see it. Look how strong he is.
Dude.
He's like, bitch, you ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
Mark Kerr back in the day.
I think Mark Kerr wrestled at 188 in college, too, by the way.
Well, you know what, man? He had a lot of creatine in his diet.
He certainly did.
And,
He said
fought
to
in
us.
Pride, and he definitely didn't take steroids then, right?
No, nope.
Is that true?
It'd be crazy to assume that.
I know.
Well, you know what, man? That documentary was super brave.
Smashing Machine. Yeah.
Super brave of him.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically let them document his ascension into drug addiction,
yep.
And a lot of that came from fighting, like painkillers and shit. He got addicted to, and it was everything: steroids, painkillers, like.
Yep. He is a great guy.
I haven't seen that documentary. It's good, huh?
Nice guy. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
This is actually pretty fucking good technique here for the day.
For passing?
You know?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Pass, Kerr was a hell of a wrestler, big collegiate wrestler.
We saw see, you can't really see it here, but he's got his chin in his fucking eyeball. Look at him grab his eye. Look at him grab his eye.
Damn.
Look at him, see?
Jesus.
Yeah, man. I remember that, man. That was back in. Look at the size of that motherfucker, Jesus
Lord.
Christ! Jesus Christ! God damn, that's a big man.
Yeah, because I said, you wrestled at 188. He goes, yeah, put a little Miracle-Gro in my cereal.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different animal.
How's he doing now?
Not so good.
No?
He was selling cars for a while. Lost a shit ton of weight. He fought a few times since they got knocked out by King Mo, and he looked like really out of shape.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
King Mo smashed him in the first
round.
It was really not fun to watch. It looked bad. He went to sleep. And you could tell, like, he was in a bad spot. And then he wound up retiring from MMA, sold some cars.
Damn.
I don't know what he's doing now.
I hope he's doing well.
I hope so, too. He was a good dude.
Yeah.
He's always a good dude, but he definitely had his demons, man. Like a lot of those dudes. I mean, you were talking about it. You know, it hit you for a few months. Those goddamn pain pills, man. You can get those demons can fucking haunt you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get sucked
in. Dude, pain pills are the most dangerous drug in the world, hands down. There's nothing more dangerous than prescription pills.
They're trying to slow that down. They're trying to cut back in America. I mean, they're starting to pass some
new
legislation.
Too much money to be made.
Well, when you say painkillers, you're talking about codeine, oxytocin, what?
All that.
Cotton, oxycontin.
Oxycontin, oxytocin.
But the thing being, there's still so much profit, even if they cut back.
Yeah.
There's still over-prescribing.
Too much money in it, man.
There's just too many. I mean, I get the idea. Like, what would you rather do if you had, like, severe pain all the time? Would you rather be addicted to opiates and just deal with that pain and be fine? Or would you rather be absolutely miserable and sober all day long? And I think you have the right as an adult to choose to be fucked up on opiates.
Yeah, but they're addicting. Like, you have to depend on them. And then you also got to realize when you take painkillers, it sends a message to your body. It says, oh, we're doing fine. It's healed. We don't need to send those receptors to heal the muscle or bone, whatever it is. So you're fucked, man. Or you could smoke marijuana.
God damn, dude. Damn. Or you can eat marijuana, you know?
Yeah.
You don't even have to smoke Whichever. It. You can get that CBD oil that people are using to help tumors.
But it's crazy.
Help inflammation.
Painkillers, yeah. You get stuck on them, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Yeah. It's, are they going to come up with a way to heal injuries that they don't have today? And we're going to look back at these days like it was the Dark Ages. Like, you know how we look at back at using leeches and shit?
Yeah,
and, you know, and they when they had to saw people's legs off and they broke. They didn't have to put rods inside your bone. Like Anderson Silva's leg, guess what, son? We're going to have to take that sucker off.
We're going to take this.
That's what they would do back then. It would fester and rot. They wouldn't know what to do with it.
And you'd die most of the time before antibiotics.
Then they probably braced it, and some people survived. What are the odds of you getting both legs connected perfectly? I mean, his leg, both bones, rather. His leg snapped in half.
I had an orthopedic surgeon tell me that if you're, like, in the wilderness, somebody gets a compound fracture. I said, what do you do? And he said, pull. So what do you mean? He said, your bone wants to go back in place. Take that ankle, pull it out. And the bone will reconnect and then splinter.
So you're just supposed to line it back up?
Yep. He said, pull that fucker right out. And I went, oh! And that's exactly what they do to you. They will pull.
Really?
Do you ever see somebody, a doctor reset a shoulder when it comes out of the socket?
No, but I had a pretty significant break of my arm when I was a little kid. Oof. And I remember them setting it. It would freak me the fuck out. Pull your my arm went like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like bent up like that. I fell on the monkey bars, and I, you know, tried to block myself with my hand, and it just, my forearm just snapped.
Damn.
Just went crack.
Oh.
Yeah. It happens a lot. It happened to my daughter. It happens a lot to kids. A lot of kids. My friend's daughter, it happened to. Another kid that's their friends with, it happened to.
But when you're a kid, it's all good, right? Because they're so young.
Oh, they heal so quick. It's amazing. Their bones just go, they just fuse up. Yeah. They take the cast off in 3 weeks.
They're soft and everything,
Dude, they grow like wolf. And the thing is, with little kids, what's one of the big issues is not even the bone healing that quickly, because it heals so quickly. As long as it's set correctly, it heals very quickly. But it's the stiffness. Like, you don't want to lose the range of motion. Yeah. So that's like what my daughter had issues with. She had to go through some range of motion stuff that takes like a couple of weeks before their motion comes back. But you compare it to like the way you would be if you broke your arm at 48.
Take a long time.
It would take a long fucking time.
Yeah.
You know, it's rough, especially if you don't use help, which is one of the reasons why I was willing to forgive Anderson. And I'm not forgiving Anderson. He doesn't need my forgiveness. I'm just saying, like, one of the reasons why I go, look, man, I'm judging the dude before he fought Chris Weidman. I'm judging him up to this point when he's 38 years old and he gets knocked dead by this young stud.
I agree.
I go, that guy before that is the best ever.
Yep.
The post-fail test
is what sucks.
I can't speak about this because I know some shit that I'm not supposed to know, or that I'm not, that's not out there yet. And once it does get out there, then we could talk about it.
Cool.
But the person who told me about it,
legit.
And
we don't have time. We just move
this
on.
Is one thing for sure. For sure, he took some shit he wasn't supposed to take to make his leg healed. For sure, can't explain. There's a really goofy explanation. I'll explain after the show.
Cool.
But it'll all come out.
Moving on. How about Bert Watson?
That sucks,
man.
I don't know what happened there, man. I heard a couple different stories.
I've heard stories, but I'm just saying, we don't have to talk details. It just sucks he's gone, man.
Yeah, he quit, apparently. That's the word, is that he quit. He got in an altercation with someone or something. I don't know what happened. Or he just got tired of it, man. The guy was traveling to fucking China and traveling
all over
this
man.
Place and that place in Brazil.
He's the manager of Joe Frazier.
Yeah, he's been around a long time.
Crazy, right?
And
really?
He's
the nicest guy.
One of the best human beings you've ever met.
One of the nicest guys ever. I don't know what happened.
They don't make two Bert Watsons ever.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Irreplaceable.
I gave him that nickname, Babysitter to the Stars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was my nickname. I used to say it when he got on stage. When he would get on stage,
oh, that's right.
I would say Bert Watson, Babysitter to the Stars. Because that's what he does, man. He babysits everybody. He makes everybody's experience at the UFC smooth and easy. He takes care of all your shit. And so that, like, when these fighters would fight, like, they would have this welcome feeling of, like, being at home because Bert Watson was there to take care of everybody.
You were talking about that, how just when you'd see him, everything would be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you're going to fight these monsters and you check into the fighter hotel and it's like chaos, there's fans, and then you see Bert and he's just like, what's up, baby? Everything's smooth, man. It makes you feel calm. Even in back in the locker room. Don't leave it to the judges. Like, before I fought Trash Brown, remember that? Don't leave it to the judges, boss. Don't leave it to the judges. They made you cry last time. I told you. And he talks to you. And there's this comfort level where I don't know if anyone else in the world could do it, man. And he was so damn good at it.
He's a genuinely really nice guy.
Great human being.
So when he's doing that, you know, he's pumping everybody up. That's his nature. His nature is to pump you up, to make you feel good. He wants you to feel good when you see Bert Kreischer. There's not a time that I saw that guy that I didn't give him a big giant hug.
Bert Kreischer, you're talking about?
No. I'm sorry. Bert Watson. Bert Watson. Yeah. Who said Kreischer?
Did I say Kreischer?
Yeah.
I think so.
I was like, yeah.
Well, he's another one.
I was like, that's probably a good
he's
guy.
He's going to be here tomorrow. He's a great guy.
Nice. Yeah.
But Bert Watson, sorry.
Bert Watson was the guy who would make guys on the undercard feel like they were the main event. You felt like you were literally the only guy fighting that night. Like, he was just amazing.
But every time you would see him, you would hug him. Just like, that's what he was just such a
sweet guy. Those intangibles. Some people just have that quality, that sort of...
Well, you know what the problem is, man? It seems like a job that other people could do. So it does, like, you know, maybe sometimes people don't appreciate... Yeah. Mm. Well, yeah. It seems like it when you look at it. Like, what's he doing that's so important? You know, like, why is this guy... Why is he getting all this attention?
You
like,
can't some write people it down on paper.
No, you can't.
What he does, you can't, like... There's not a job description. Okay, you deal with divas and you deal with some of the toughest guys on the planet. And, you make sure their week is smooth. I get it. Yeah, I can do that. I'm telling you, man. It's going to be a beast.
Yeah. I mean, I think other people probably could do it, but no one's going to replace him. He is his own unique individual. And, you know... He's a beautiful guy to be around. Like, I just think that's worth something. You know, I don't know. I would have never let the guy quit.
Some people have a weird, like, this guy, we used to train American Bulldogs for attack training.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this dog on a leash called Axe, and we went and saw all his dogs because at the time I was thinking about buying an American Bulldog. And he said, you can't go near that dog over there. I said, oh, okay. He goes, yeah, he's by training. He's a mean boy and everything. And then they were talking about how there was a guy who just could walk up to every single dog he had in that whole lot, and he had a bunch of them. And at one point, Axe is just the only person that Axe lets near him is this dude. And they didn't tell him not to go up to Axe. And he walked up to Axe, and the next thing you know, he saw the guy get down on his knees and open his arms hug Axe. And Axe was wagging.
Oh, no.
Axe was wagging.
And Axe didn't rip his throat.
He had a thing with dogs.
That's Bert,
no matter how, same
that's
thing.
Bert.
Some people just have a, I wonder if it's a...
They're retarded. The dog recognizes they're too stupid to know any better.
Yeah. You're
so the dog doesn't bite their face off.
God, man. Who knows? When I was going to do a movie, a long time ago, I can't remember the name of the movie. It actually got released. And it was about a French soldier in the desert who meets a leopard. And they have, directed by a woman named Lavinia Currier. And I had a meeting with her, and she said, well, we're looking for an actor. The only issue is that the leopard will either like you or it won't like you.
God.
If it doesn't like you, it'll never like you. If it likes you, you'll be fine. And that was a huge part of getting cast in the role. And I said, How does it know? And she said, we don't know. It's maybe a scent or however you move, but it likes you. You get the part. Yeah, so getting the part's one thing. And then you have to go through the leopard test.
Oh, fucking Christ.
Very interesting.
Did you go through the leopard test?
Sure didn't. I didn't get the part.
No.
Not that good an actor.
So what were you thinking when he gets on his knees in front of the dog?
I'm sorry? Well, I didn't see that. I didn't see it. I was just told the story.
Oh, God.
That leopard. As soon as
I don't
you
like those stories
leopard.
That you weren't there for. Don't tell those.
Yeah, I know.
Don't tell another guy's story.
Yeah, those are not good. You know why? Because they might be bullshit.
I know.
I hate those stories.
No, because somebody else was there.
Yeah, but it might have been exaggerated. Dog might have been super friendly.
I saw a video.
Yeah. It was a wiener dog, so there's no threat at all.
I went over my friend's house, and they're like, yeah, everybody's like, oh, his dog's scary. And look, why? Because it's a German Shepherd. It's a friendly dog. Yeah. Comes over, wagging his tail.
Everyone thinks
they're
sweet.
Well, you and I were talking about the difference between a liar and an exaggerator, right?
Yeah, you just took me down a journey where you don't know.
Sorry,
if you have no veracity.
You're like, you're Brian Williams of the podcast.
Damn it. Oh, man. Guys,
you see the meme of Brian Williams saying he's escaped one of Ronda Rousey's arm bars.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That guy's fucked, huh? When you're a news guy.
He's only
guy,
out 6 months, man.
What the fuck ever?
It doesn't
matter.
Dude,
it's over, son.
Yeah. You think?
Fuck!
Yes!
You guys are crazy. America, forget him.
Oh,
he'll do a press conference.
Because no one can do that. Listen, if I wanted to be a fucking newscaster tomorrow, if it wasn't for my checkered past, if I wanted to do it tomorrow.
You ain't doing it,
tomorrow.
You got to have a clean record.
Yeah, listen, there's way too many endorsements of illegal drugs of mine online.
Yeah, also,
and
I are friends. We're friends. If you found out I told a major lie like that.
Like that dog story, the Taekwondo
one?
Yeah,
the
we're
Taekwondo
still, which one?
I mean, I've told a lot of stories, but if you if you found out that I was just a liar, there's a big difference, man.
Yeah.
That's where you go,
I think Brian
I've got to reassess everything now.
Brian Williams is doing it for ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's
care.
A lot of competition out there, and he went, yeah, I was in this helicopter. He heard of a helicopter crash, and he just put himself
He didn't need the ratings.
I think you're giving him too much credit. I think you're saying that he's like, this is a calculated move. But that's stupid. You know why? Because the true story is still awesome. Okay, here's the true story. The true story, he's in a helicopter. There's a helicopter convoy of three helicopters. The one in front of him gets hit with an RPG. They have to force land in a fucking sandstorm, and they're stuck in the sandstorm for 2 days. That story's awesome, and that story's true.
No,
that's a true
it's
story.
Not, though. What, it's you're not? Missing, what you're missing is, yeah. is he was 3.5 hours behind the one they hit yeah. with RPG.
I heard it was an hour.
But this is what the pilot said. The pilot said that's not the case. The pilot said they landed an hour late because they had to get rid of their cargo. They had a full load of cargo. They landed, they got rid of their cargo, and then they met up with the other helicopter that got hit by the RPG. That's why they were an hour behind it.
Yeah, that's
they were
a dope all, story then.
But this is what the guy says. They were all in a convoy. And the helicopter pilot even said that the helicopter that Brian Williams is on took small arms fire. Okay? Then when he landed, when he told his story, two other people came out and said no, they were the guys that were flying Brian Williams around, and he didn't fly him around. And so he's like, you know what? I don't even know anymore. He said, I have suppressed this so much. And this is a guy who's a totally legit guy. And he said, I'm starting to get nightmares again, and I had already put this behind me. Now you're making me relive this experience from 12 years ago, and I'm starting to question my own memory,
damn.
Which is super common in traumatic situations.
Yeah.
Like, for Brian Williams, let's be real. I don't know that dude, but I guarantee you he's a pussy. I guarantee you,
100%.
Alone,
he's never been in a fight in his life.
The way he apologized, I mistakenly told.
I conflated the two stories.
Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. That's not the way a goddamn man apologizes fucking up.
I agree.
He should have done was instead of doing it online or that way, where you're in some constricted time of 15 seconds they allot you to try to clear your name, you should do it on a YouTube video.
Yes.
You should put a goddamn camera in front of you, and as long as it takes to get your full thoughts out about how this possibly could have happened, or that you did lie, or what it was, or that you got caught up in it and somebody repeated it, and you almost forgot because you kept telling the story, whatever the fuck it is. The actual story is pretty goddamn good.
Yeah.
At least according to the helicopter
legit,
pilot.
Man.
The helicopter pilot said that and then the helicopter pilot came out the next day and said he's not even sure of his own memory, and so he doesn't want to talk about it anymore, which is that guy's fucking prerogative.
So
right?
What do you think should happen to Brian Williams? You don't think he should report?
Never! It's over!
No!
Get out of here with your news! You're not telling me the news. You're a bullshit
really?
Artist.
You lied.
Yes, do something else,
you lied.
Man. Go host a talk show.
Yeah.
Go host a talk show.
You think he's the first one ever to lie?
No, but you can't get caught. You can't get caught as a news liar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like
he's the face of NBC News.
Okay. How about this? What if you found out that a dude was pitching for the World Series and he got paid off by some gambling organization to throw the game? Would you ever trust that guy to fucking pitch a legit game again? Would you ever?
No, but Anderson Silva told me he didn't take steroids. He's still your number one guy. But Brian Williams can't tell the news these days?
I think it's fundamentally
Anderson
different,
Silva,
though.
At the end of his career, definitely did take steroids.
Yeah,
at the end of his career.
It's also different, though.
It was when he had a broken leg, and he's 39 years old.
Yeah.
Which you heal slow as fuck. And I'm with you.
I get it, man.
You shouldn't do it. But it's totally illegal. I'm with you. What I'm saying is, when I say Anderson's the best of all time, I'm not taking away his previous accomplishments because he fucked up when he was 39 years old. What I'm saying is, if I look at him in his prime, from Chris Lieben all the way to Vitor Belfort to fucking Stefan Bonner, if I look at his fights, Dan Henderson.
And we assume he's clean.
We assume he's clean.
All right.
We do not know.
Okay.
We obviously don't know.
We do not know.
We do not
I'm
know.
Not saying he did anything.
If he really was clean, I give him the benefit of the doubt. He never failed a test, and I say that he was the best ever.
So Brian Williams had this one mess up. I also give Fedor the benefit of the doubt.
But Fedor has more benefit because Fedor never tested positive.
True.
Even though he was in a dirty league. I mean, we could call it a dirty league, right? Pride.
100%.
100%,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, amazing fighters.
Legit.
When we say dirty, we don't mean it disrespectfully. It was the environment that they were competing in.
I say awesome.
Okay? So Fedor has way more benefit of the doubt because he never tested positive, but he wasn't even tested until he came to Strikeforce.
Bro, all I'm saying is, so Brian Williams basically tests positive for this one time.
No, hold on. It's
so we're
it's
just going to assume all of it's bullshit?
Well, wait, it's not that.
Wait.
You trust Brian Williams to deliver information. He is a journalist.
Yeah.
That people tell him to deliver.
A journalist's credibility and an organization's credibility is everything when it comes to the news. When you're a journalist and you have a story, you have to have, I think, depending on where you're at, they cross-check your references,
yeah.
You got to get very, very good sources, and I think an editorial board has to okay it. That's why we trust the news.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, when someone like Brian Williams lies, and he blatantly lied, and it was self-aggrandizement. It was about making himself look not only like a sympathetic character, but a grandiose character.
He exaggerated.
Say what you will.
He exaggerated.
It's more than an exaggeration. It's a lie. It's an absolute blatant lie. And everybody uses these euphemisms. And like, well, he wasn't wasn't forthcoming. No, it's okay that you lied. I forgive you the lie.
And he really thought that he was in the helicopter that got hit by
the grenade. He might have been like, oh, shit.
Too bad, though, right?
Right, right. But what if it's like the O.J. Simpson thing? Like, people thought that O.J. Simpson literally believed at the end of his, you know, time as a free man that he hadn't killed his wife. There's people that knew him that had said this in interviews. They said, I really believe that he doesn't believe he killed her. Like, he got it in his head. Like, he twisted his brain.
Technically, he didn't, though.
But then,
not civilly. The civil lawsuit.
That's true.
But the courts have recognized that too, right? They recognize some. That's the degree of mental delusion or whatever it is.
All I'm saying, Brian Williams shouldn't be out of a job for lying. Once.
I don't want to hurt the guy. I don't think he's a.
Let's be honest about this. First of all, he made a dossier of Brian Williams' lies, investigating his expense accounts. Okay, there you go. He's done. If they're doing that, what's the date on that again?
He's lied more than once?
That's how it always is. That's how it always is.
Well, I thought maybe you just exaggerated this one time.
People don't do it that way. That's not human behavior.
Yeah.
That's not human. When people steal, somebody steals money from you, they go in and they take money. They got a history of that.
I disagree.
Well,
you don't know the situation. You don't know if they're stealing money.
You're right. Sometimes there can be an exception. If he's desperate for money, I can understand that. I'm just saying that typically, when people behave a certain way and they get caught, they've probably done something like that in the past.
Yeah. I disagree. I don't think you know the situation.
It's very possible that he has, it's very possible that he hasn't. But if they do have a dossier of lies on him, then your suspicions have kind of been confirmed.
Yeah, he's screwed.
Yeah, he's fucked.
Yeah.
But it's like, it doesn't mean that he can't work. And by the way, he was making $10 million a year.
He's balling.
Okay? He's making a lot of fucking money. Fine. That guy's going to be fine.
I really don't give a shit if my newscasters are
crystal you're crazy, man. I don't want it. That's a bull. It's going to make you angry. Angry. You're going to watch this puppet, this fucking state-run puppet.
All of them are puppets.
But they're not. They're not all puppets.
Dude,
they're not.
CNN and Brennan, you think all these guys?
Brennan, he makes $10 million because you trust him, because he's a face of credibility. The reason Brian Williams made $10 million a year is because he was the face of NBC News, and when you brought him into your living room, like everybody did, what happened was you do that because when you get news from him, you believe it.
That's why you're watching the news. You're not watching fiction. I didn't trust him from the get-go. I don't assume these are world-class, great Americans deliver the news. Well, you're a dummy for basically a corporation or telling you what to say. You exaggerate.
It's not how the news is. No, I mean, you're also being sympathetic, simplistic about this.
Okay, but he's not really. Because all Brian Williams' credentials, I mean, what does he need to be able to do that you can't do or that you can't do or that I can't do? So reading off a I'm not good at reading off teleprompters. There's evidence online.
I know what you mean.
But that's all he has to
do. He's telegenic, right?
You get used to doing that. He looks like someone's dad. He's a good height. He's got good facial structure.
There's a reason for that. That's what they hire.
Yeah, his speech is. But he's not particularly a brilliant guy. I had a conversation off the record once. I won't say the guy's name, but he's one of those news guys. And I was shocked at how dumb he seemed. Like, we were having a conversation about, and I questioned him on a couple of things. We're just, like, throwing some, you know, just shooting the shit back and forth. And I forget what came up or what the subject was, but I remember thinking, this guy's he's not that bright.
What was he? Was he hesitant or what was it?
Clumsy in his thinking. I can't really tell you what it is, you'll know who the fuck I'm talking about. Okay. He's not a bad guy.
My favorite's Anderson Cooper.
He's good, but he, you know, look. Anderson Cooper is another one.
Williams was considered by people. I've only read this. I don't know, and I can't give you examples. He was recognized by a lot of people who wrote about this afterwards as a pretty good journalist that got him to where he was, got him to be an anchor of NBC. He was a credible journalist who did good work, who wrote good articles and did good investigation. And that's why it was such a bummer for so many people.
Accounts, it's not true. There's other people that said that he was an asshole, that he was pretentious. I mean, who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
Whenever something like this happens,
it's two sides.
You're going to get bullshit on both directions. I mean, but all I know is we don't really need those guys. We don't need someone that's a credible voice.
I agree.
We need information. Yeah. That's what we need. And it's almost worse when it comes from a personality, especially if we think that personality could potentially be manipulated. It's that charismatic father figure that's reading you the news is actually kind of creepy in a way.
Yeah.
It's weird.
But a free, honest, and open press, and knowing that you can trust the information you get, say, from the New York Times, because they have they work very hard at making sure at least that the stories or the information, not the stories or the slant, but the information presented. So for example, somebody gets shot, a 12-year-old gets shot. We know that's true. We're not going to say they're making that up. There has to be a certain amount of non-cynical trust in a society where we just give people the benefit of the doubt.
But you can't go through life believing that CNN and Dateline is the best source of news, and they have no hidden motivated.
Absolutely.
You know,
well, they certainly do. But here's the other part of the problem. The format is incredibly flawed and antiquated.
Yeah.
The format of getting the entire world's news in an hour with 18 minutes of commercials is ridiculous.
Yep.
You can't get it that way because they're going to pick and choose the things that are exciting. It's an entertainment show about events. That's what it really is.
Yep.
It's an entertaining show about events.
Yeah.
And that's why you have this asshole with a tie who speaks like your girlfriend's father.
Mm.
Like, oh, this fucking guy again. You know what I mean? Like, this is who he is.
And
he's
there's a reason Kim Kardashian posting a selfie signing a deal for $100 million is the start of the news. That's the
If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
that's what they say.
Yeah. And there's no doubt that political leanings by journalists bleed into the news. I mean,
I think we give them too much credit.
It's a shitty.
I don't assume they're
it's
good
a
people.
Shitty way to get information. That's not how any of us should get information.
No.
They shouldn't have it anymore. It was important back in the day when they didn't have fucking reading. You know, and they would get on TV and nobody. I mean, you'd read your newspaper in the morning and then in the afternoon you would listen to the news or you would watch the news. It became on television.
Yeah.
And that's we are at war with Japan. What did you hear on the news? We're at war with Japan. Now you would get Twitter alerts like way before that shit would happen.
When you see Walter Cronkite. Back in the day, it was just very matter of fact. He got on and read the news. And one of the things, there's a famous story I think about the guy who ran 60 Minutes. And he came in and he said, good news and bad news. Good news is, got very high ratings last night. Bad news is, we got very high ratings last night. And the news will never be the same. So in other words, we now have a lot of pressure to get ratings. What does that mean? Sensationalize things.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Focus on what's wrong, not what's right.
For
self-fear,
sure.
All these things.
Well,
yeah,
not only that, it's a disproportionate and non-accurate view of the world.
Mm.
Because by only focusing on these negative things and not focusing on the fucking hundreds of millions of positive things that are happening all the time, all over the world, you're getting this distorted version of reality that threatens people and makes people alert and react to stress. You're reacting to danger.
A sense of fear all
constantly.
The time. ISIS? I feel like ISIS lives next door in Marina Del Rey.
And more importantly...
I better get a fucking lion.
Hey, rant killer, let the guy fucking rant about ISIS. Jesus Christ, you just can't stop.
Rant killer.
He's trying. He's trying to do some comedy here, and you're just tripping all over like you're not listening.
ISIS.
No, you got this, man. Carry on.
The guy's going on about ISIS in fucking Marina Del Rey. You're like, yeah, but my uncle.
No, I was going to say that what I think the damage done is that you don't get any real information. Like I was having a conversation with somebody who really knows the Middle East, and they were like, nobody ever talks about the biggest problem with two things with, first of all, the Middle East is the Sunni-Shia schism, the idea that you start there. We don't even know where to start with the debate. We start talking about ISIS. We start talking about the problems that bother us, and we don't actually really know where the source of the problem is. We don't know how it started because we're not. You don't get it from what you were saying. You don't get it from watching TV.
You get it from CNN and Dateline,
well,
and you assume this guy's the...
You're not supposed to. You didn't... You know, it used to be you had to wait for the news to come out. You had to get a newspaper, and then you got alerted to the important stories in the radio or on the news on television. We don't need that anymore. It's just antiquated. And it's dangerous because it gives you a version of the world that's not entirely accurate. It's very slanted because that's what you're scared of, so that's what you tune into, so that's what they can sell. Advertising, hey, we scared the fuck out of 100 people. Did you see Nightcrawler?
Yes.
It's fucking excellent.
No.
It's so dope.
It's excellent. And it's all about this. Nightcrawler is all about this.
Yep.
First of all, Jake Gyllenhaal is a bad motherfucker.
How did he not win a... He should have won an award.
He's a beast. I think awards are stupid.
I agree.
He's just excellent. It's an excellent move.
Really?
It's
amazing.
Really, 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 really well done.
And a dope-ass Dodge Challenger makes an appearance.
Isn't that sweet?
Right?
Yeah, it's not even a
Hellcat.
When
he starts balling.
SRT.
Yeah.
What is that?
Once he starts balling, he gets a nice red Challenger with black stripes.
To get there faster.
Dude.
I love how he talks to his sidekick.
Yeah. It's an amazing.
He's like, Jeremy, if you
don't spoil
it.
He's never
going to
see it. He's never
going to see
but
it.
But folks that are listening, there's people listening.
Oh, my bad.
It's goddamn good.
Oh, I'm a spoiler alert. Oh, I see every movie.
I ruin shit for people. You ruined my time. When I go, don't tell me about the fights. Whatever you do, don't tell me fights.
I'm just disappointing
14
you.
Seconds, that's all I'm going to say.
It pisses me off when he misses the fight, so I text him all the results.
He says,
you know, that's part of your job is to pay attention to
him. I'm aware of that.
And when he doesn't see it, I'm like, fuck that noise.
I'm aware of that.
I'm taping it.
His defensive stance.
Cause
I'm aware of
his fucking cobra.
He's bracing for impact. Because I get mad. I'm like, Brennan, don't tell me anything. We're on our way to play volleyball. I go, don't tell me anything. He goes, Cain Velasquez ends up winning. He punches him in the face.
I like, gotta discipline you, man. I gotta teach you.
He runs through the whole thing. No!
How do you not know? What are you doing? You're out there in the wild?
Yeah, dude, my workouts are at night a lot of times. Whoa, so
what
it's
do you
hard.
Do? You run just, the beach? Think I about
do,
death?
No, I do the Alexander Emelianenko workout, not the Fedor one.
What's the difference?
Just both, a lot of back work and crime.
A lot of back crime. Chin ups and crime.
Just crime. Just do crime.
Oh, my damn God. You. That's hilarious.
Yeah. How about Brendan's part?
It's beautiful. It's got a goddamn full head of hair. If I had that much hair, I'd do weird shit.
You know
too.
What, man? Because I've been taking a break from training, and I haven't grown my hair out since I was in, I don't know, man. So for me to be able to grow it out. You can't have really hairstyle and train a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Putting gel in your hair, feel like a, you know.
Dude, I've been, I don't know. I know you had a neck injury for a while.
Yeah.
I've been getting this dude does Rolfing. And he uses, he's got this fucking crazy, it's like this metal piece that's wrapped in like a soft plastic, like a thin sheet of plastic around it. You know, so it's like semi-soft on the outside, but underneath it's iron, steel, whatever the fuck it is.
That shit
breaks
hurts,
up scar
son.
Tissue. Woo!
That shit hurts.
Doggy!
Okay, so now here's
God,
my question.
You're a beast if you can sit through that. Oh, I had it done on my hamstring
once. I get
once.
It done once a month, or
dang,
once a week,
you're
rather.
Gangster.
Not once a month,
you
once
know,
a week.
You know what's weird is people be like, oh, Shab, your neck hurts, and I'll... This is my fault. I'll have random people like, oh, let me see it. And I'll just sit down.
And they
this
start cracking
random,
it.
This random girl was grabbing my neck. She's like, your ribs out. Your ribs out.
Oh, God.
I'm sitting there. Her weight's on my shoulder, pushing on my head.
Oh, my God.
I'm thinking, I don't know this woman. I let her do it.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
I know,
that.
But
man.
What do we know? You know a lot about this stuff. What do we know about, like, when, so if my lower back hurts, is that a function of inflammation?
Well, here's the deal. Yeah. You don't know until you get an MRI.
Right.
You need to get an MRI.
Okay.
I got an MRI recently because I wanted to get a look at my back, know exactly what's going on, and everything's cool. Just some disc degeneration, minor disc degeneration, a little bit of soreness and inflammation.
There's really nothing you can do for that, though.
No, not much you can do. So it's all fine. Like, it's fine to push myself. But you got to know that you're fine to push yourself.
Yeah.
And but, I mean, how bad's your back?
I'm fine.
But if you don't, you say that, but if you don't know, it's just guessing. Like, people that have sciatica, they're like, they keep going, oh, my sciatic nerve. Well, do you know what that is?
Yeah.
That's a... bulging disc that's pushing on your nerve. Like, you're making it look like your nerve is acting weird. You know, your nerve is being squashed by your fucking, the soft shit in between your bones and your spine is pushing into your fucking nerve.
Jesus.
Like, that's serious shit.
Yeah.
And people that ignore that or try to work through it, like, you can fuck yourself up.
Yeah.
I know three dudes that have had significant neck surgery because of impinged nerves where it was causing atrophy to their muscles. Three dudes very close. Guys from my gym. I know one dude that can't do jiu-jitsu anymore. Can't roll, can't do anything.
It's a fine line, though. Like, a lot of guys, they'll be messed up and like, nah, I'm not going to see a doctor. And then now, you know, with the UFC insurance policy, I'm like, damn, my wrist hurts, I get an x-ray. My nose hurts, I get an x-ray.
You should do that. You're a fucking professional fighter, man.
The people at the UFC must be like, fucking Shab, man. What's wrong with me? Jammed his thumb.
Hey, look, man, you're not the only one. A lot of dudes are doing that, and they should.
Yeah.
They should. That is a giant part of what you do for a living.
They probably have awards.
You got to know.
Behind our backs.
You got to know whether or not
it's serious
or not.
Biggest pussy of the year, Big Brown.
They're silly. That's silly. You look, this is what you do. Like, that's antagonistic sort of relationship with people when they have injuries.
Yeah.
That's a very fucking tricky thing to be.
It's weird, though, man, because you know, back in the day, it's like, oh, I want to be tough. So now, like, even, and it's my own ego.
Mm-hmm.
When I have to call my manager, be like, dude, I got to get MRI or I got to get my neck checked out. It takes usually 3 or 4 weeks for me to talk myself into getting the doctor. Because it's like this ego thing where you're like, God, I want to be a bitch, man. Like Mitch Rome was in town. He's like, you want to train? I really can't go real hard wrestling right now. I want to with him and Barnett.
Yeah.
I just can't. And so I was like, oh, I'm busy, man.
Well, that's smart, man. When dudes try to ignore pain.
I know.
There's a lot of dudes that try to ignore pain. Their bodies wind up falling apart.
True.
We had John Wayne Parr on, and he was talking about Ramon Deckers. Ramon Deckers, they got him to a point where they fused his fucking ankle to his shin bone because he had broken it so many times. Just full power kicks. He would kick so fucking hard and smash into elbows and knees and shins, and he shattered his ankle so many times from his right kick that they had to fuse it. So he would hobble when he walked, and he would tape that fucker up and get in there, and they told him, they're like, you can't kick with this, or we're going to have to fucking amputate your leg if you break it again. And he would wait a little while, fighting in a southpaw, and he'd say, you know what, fuck it. Switch stances and just start attacking with
gangster.
It again. Dude, fused.
That's a bad motherfucker.
His
right
fucking
there.
Ankle didn't bend. He's
good
still
high. Just
did he pass away? Yeah, he passed away, right?
At 43.
Oh, no.
Died of a heart attack at 43.
Oh, boy.
Riding a bike, apparently. He was one of the all-time great kickboxers.
Oh, phenomenal. If you don't know who he is, research.
That's a compromise against your arteries.
Ramon Deckers. Woo! Oh. He was good. Woo!
Dude.
Just Ramon savage. Decker. Savage. So aggressive. And he was like, he was a Dutch guy, but the Dutch people were very big.
Yes.
Like the average height for a Dutch man is 6 feet tall.
Tallest people in Europe.
Yeah, the tallest people in Europe. Oh, wow. And a lot of big, and he was little. So he had to be tough, and he was one of the first guys to go over to Thailand and beat the Thais in Thai boxing.
Well, think about how tough he is. Your ankle's fused to your fucking leg, man.
Your
bone.
Ankle, yeah, your foot and your knee and your ankle, like all the way down is one piece.
Yeah, that's not good.
The fuck
don't use
here.
It.
That's definitely, that's
don't a, use it and then gets in a fight and fucking
it's
use
definitely
it.
A guy who doesn't know what to do with his time. Like, he's just not going
to
quit.
That's telling him we might have to amputate your leg because you've shattered your bone so many times. The whole thing's like,
I got
to
be honest, I'm just not that tough. I'm like, ah, cool, man.
No. It's kind of how I feel about Madonna at 56 showing her ass off like an old fighter who won't quit. Ooh. Just take a look at this. I won't give up.
All, how dare you make that comparison?
Sorry.
Well, he fucked the whole thing up with Eddie Murphy Shrek thing. That
yeah, but
was,
this might be just as bad. Madonna's an oddity at this point.
I think
and
so.
When people go to see her, it's an oddity. She's a 60-year-old woman in her underwear who's dancing around with a bunch of gay guys following her everywhere she goes and hanging on her every word.
She got yanked off stage the other day. Why I know that, I don't know. I think fucking Brian Williams told me.
What happened?
She was dancing. The thing was supposed to like yank the cape off, but it like got her neck.
Oof. Oh my god!
It yanks this bitch right off the stage.
Damn!
Is there a video of that?
Oh yeah.
Oh, we got to see that.
Damn!
Play it for us.
Yeah.
Play it again, Jamie.
She gets decapitated.
She'll be 80, showing her body off. She's
you best
awful.
Believe that dude got fired. Couldn't. Whoever made that cape,
he's probably
fired.
Dead.
Oh
yeah, he's probably dead.
He's probably dead. She probably beat him to death. Remember Madonna beat someone to death with a hammer, and you see the body just scooting out the back door. It was like the 1930s.
Just a little hammer.
It was the 1930s.
Oh, no.
She just had a carpenter's hammer just fucking impaled
her
in the head.
That's not good.
Shit. Let me see that again. One more time, please.
Oh.
Look at this. Bitch. Yeah.
Oh. Oh, my God. She's old, dude. When you fall like that and you're old, you could break a hip.
She got
she's
up, though.
Walking
keep
off
on,
like
keep
a champ.
On.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Where was she?
Oh. She handled that really well.
Yes.
By the way, she fell really
She's
well.
She's a professional.
She really did.
Yeah. She could have got her.
Fuck that tailbone up. She has zero ass.
She could have got her.
She got some muscle on her ass.
I was filming this movie with Kevin James, Zookeeper in Boston. And we had a bike chasing scene. We had a bike chasing scene, and I kept hitting the front brakes on the bike because the front brakes were my left hand, the back brakes were my right hand. And I'm riding this bike, and I'm hitting him with this thing. And I hit the front brakes and go flying over the handlebars on the concrete,
damn.
Like tumble into the grass. I did it like three times.
So you did your own stunt, in other words?
Yeah, I did all of it.
Oh,
well,
okay.
There's one where a guy made a bike jump where it was a stuntman.
Right.
Like, where he had to ride down this hill and then hit this ramp and jump over this flight of stairs and land on the ground. And he did that. He was like a stunt jumper.
Sure.
But all the other shit I did. And they wanted to have a stunt guy do the fall. Like, because that's what would eventually happen, was he was supposed to jam his flag into my wheel, and then I go flying, and then he takes off. But I fell so spectacularly that they used my actual fall in the,
let's
in the
see
actual
this. Look
movie.
At the body. And did you do a judo roll, or what happened?
Yeah, I
gotta
just
see
rolled.
This. Look at you.
Sick, man.
I think I rolled in one of them, and one of them maybe I fell
awesome.
A bunch of times. One of them was cool because I landed in the grass. Like, I hit the curb and went flying.
I got to see this
grass.
Movie. I can't believe
Kevin
I haven't seen
you. Kevin James is a good dude, huh?
He's a very good dude. He's a very, very, very
Kevin's
very
a great
good
guy.
Dude, how about stuntmen? They're fucking crazy, man. Stuntmen are crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I have people tell me all the time. I'd probably say once a week, dude, you should get into some stunt work.
No.
What are you fucking crazy?
Well, that's how Boss hurt his neck. One of the things I was going to get to is Boss, when he was on, I think, Sons of Anarchy, one of those shows, he did a stunt, and he's doing his own stunt work, and they landed him on his head. And bang! And he just fucked his neck up, and then he had to get his discs fused.
Didn't you have a friend who does stunt work, and he like was in a coma for a grip, can't taste food anymore?
Yeah, dude. He hit the back of his head and lost his sense of taste and smell and has never come back.
Ooh.
And his testosterone went vroom, so he had to go on, he had... But I was doing the Goldbergs, and this girl had to fall down on her back, and I said, She was a girl, and it was on a linoleum floor, like a real cafeteria floor. And I said, "How are you going to do that?" And she goes, "Just fall." And I said, "I know, but," and she just boom, just hit.
Hit her
she
head?
Did it 5 times. No, she was a stunt woman. 5 times. And I said, "How are you doing?" She goes, "I'll be sore tomorrow." She was falling. I remember when I did Death Valley, and I had to judo flip this giant guy, Joe Arnaz, who is a this was crazy. This guy Joe Arnaz, who's a giant stuntman on Death Valley. And I'm awesome, works all the time, just big judo guy. And we had this desk, like this thing, and he's a vampire, he jumps on me, and I had to flip him over. And I thought it was going to break away furniture. It really wasn't breakaway furniture. It was as hard as it gets, and I just would throw him, and he would flip over me and throw himself and fall on his back. He did it over and over, and just, you know.
Do they get paid well to do that?
Yeah, they
get paid well.
Not well enough.
Not well enough.
Yeah. I would never do that.
It depends on what you have to do. I mean, if you have to do something like that, it's definitely not well enough. Yeah. Oftentimes they wear padding, and they do their best, but look, they're taking bumps no matter what, and their head's getting jostled
around.
They're
getting concussed.
No matter what.
Being dragged by a horse, they say, is the most dangerous.
Really?
Dude, fuck that. Yeah. And they have to do that for some fucking movies, man. There's not
multiple
much you can do about
too,
that.
Right?
You get dragged by a horse, you got to do it very specifically, and you got to be really careful because they can't really stop the horse. They've got to be, how do you control the horse? You control it with another horse, but you got to let that horse go for a while.
Oh, my God.
And they spook the horse is trained to run, and you get dragged. And that is, they consider the most dangerous.
Well, how about car shit? When they're doing car chases and shit? Like, fucking
can't be safe.
Guy in The Hangover 2. Who was in the... It was never the same.
Someone was in a movie. Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal. They were saying that fucking movie, that was not CGI. When they did those car accidents in that movie, all the car accidents in Nightcrawler, I'm pretty sure it was him. See, please Google that.
Was in too much crazy accidents.
What about the fucking high-speed chase? I don't want to say anything more.
Oh, yeah.
I'll say that one time, some serious shit.
Yeah.
Enough so that you're like, get the fuck out of here. Like, this is real? This is not CGI? Apparently, that was one of the things that the director wanted to do. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
I know people clown on Tom Cruise for kind of being a sissy, but he did all his own stunts in Mission Impossible, I heard. When he hung from that building, that's pretty gangster.
He does his own driving stunts, too.
Running and everything. He's a powerful
kid. He did whatever the fuck that movie was that he did with Cameron Diaz. He had some crazy movie with Cameron Diaz.
Oh, yeah,
I like that movie. End of Days or whatever it was.
No, that's a great movie.
That's a great movie, too.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yes.
That's very underrated. That is a good movie.
That's a movie that almost suffers from him being too wacky.
I agree, man.
Yeah, man.
That's a beast of a movie.
Yeah, like if that movie was like someone else, like Will Smith. Will Smith's a little wacky, too.
The Cameron Diaz one was Night and Day, right?
Yeah, Night and Day.
Good movie.
Yeah, if Tom Cruise killed it in that movie, by the way, Edge of Tomorrow. He killed it. Killed it.
Oh, yeah.
But if someone else did an equal job of killing it,
John Travolta.
Daniel Day-Lewis. If Daniel Day-Lewis was
He's too serious, though.
Too serious?
For way
a fucking sci-fi crazy movie? That was a realistic sci-fi movie, though.
Yeah, it was.
You know, I mean, it wasn't like so stupid that
you put that heartthrob from Thor in there. That thing's gonna do well.
Heartthrob.
That boy's a beast.
But I'll tell you what, man. Tom Cruise. I did a reading with him, and I took his body in. I spent a good 4 hours with him.
Well, he'll tell you he was there.
We talked
wrestling.
How tiny
is he?
He's not as tall as I am, but he's very stout. He's got wide center of gravity, thick hips, thick shoulders, sloped shoulders.
What's his dick taste like?
Glad you asked. I would make out with him.
If all went down, if you were like on a canopy, under a canopy,
you
gotta
push me. You
gotta
get me in a corner, don't you? You gotta put me in a corner, don't you?
And you're playing a gay lover in
Damn
a movie,
it.
But in the movie you don't ever make out.
Right.
But he wants to make out with you just one time, just
Damn
so you
it.
Could like pretend.
Damn
I mean, that this way we're gonna look. We're together. We're gay lovers.
Well,
this is our movie.
I after I did the reading, I see him 6 months later at this big hoity-toity party. I talked to him for a good hour, maybe an hour and a half.
Did you wake up with your pants down?
That means 10 minutes.
I remember saying to myself,
That means he went, Tom Cruise, like, get the fuck out of here.
How does he have an hour and a half by himself?
Just we talked
Who's
about,
talking to
talking
Brian
about,
one-on-one for an hour and a half at a party?
Talking about our kids?
For an hour and a half.
Oh, I kept him
You know
there.
How long that is?
Dude, I kept him there.
Are you lying a little bit, though?
I got a witness.
An hour and a half?
We'll ask Jeremy Piven. You tell him. Anyway, he's got a funny story about it. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
But we're sitting there talking for 15 minutes, and and I remember looking at him going, he was complimenting me on my job I did in the reading. And Jeremy goes, he said you did a good job 13 times. I said, 13? He goes, yes. I said, good. So we talked for a long time. We talked about kids, everything else. And I remember thinking to myself, this is so lame. And I was a grown man. And I remember thinking to myself, I go, I just really want to be his friend. I hope he says, let's hang out again. Whoa. I remember saying, I would love to just, I was so starstruck and I really liked him. He was so nice. And I figured, you know what?
That's what happens when you get molested.
We're kind of friends now. I kind of know him, kind of. That didn't happen. And I remember
so
I said to him,
it was gonna happen?
I looked at my goals. I go,
you thought
I go,
it was going
to
happen?
This is what I said to him. I go, so how you been? What's it like just to be the king? Is it just generally boring or a lot of fun? He just looked down and he went, it's, you know, it is what it is. And, and we started talking. I tried to make him laugh, and I did.
I've seen him in person. He was the first time I've ever been like, I was at this party. Everyone was there, athletes. And I was going to the bathroom. I wasn't expecting him. And I saw him. I just went, oh, first time ever. Went, oh, shit, Tom Cruise. And he was tiny, tiny.
Like
not
five,
a big
six?
Dude. Five six, 160. Yeah, tiny.
I think thicker than 160. I think I give him 5'8", but then again, he's in shoes.
Probably might have some weird shoes.
Probably
100%.
But he's thick. He's thick. He's got a.
Hey, I'm a fan, man.
Run the cop.
I'm a fan.
He's got a dick on him. Guys got a kiss. We did take a piss together.
What about
we took
his obliques?
A long piss together.
Yeah.
Sculpted obliques.
You didn't look at his dick. I'm disappointed
because it was,
if you did
I was
it.
At the urinal
Hold
right
on.
Next to him. We were talking about.
He took a long piss together. What the fuck does that even
we
mean?
We talked about Dan Gable's
how do you
wrestling
remember
camp.
How long your piss is.
We talked about Dan Gable's wrestling camp because I went to Dan Gable's intensive wrestling camp in Iowa between my junior and senior year of high school. And he said he would have loved to have, but he couldn't afford it. We were holding our dicks. And I remember thinking, I'm pissing with Tom Cruise.
I pissed with Dennis Miller once.
It's not bad.
That's my story. He's right next to me. We're somewhere in like NBC or something like that. And, hey, Joe, you got a hip on your hands there. It was like Fear Factor first got on the air. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm pissing right next to Dennis Miller. I wanted to ask him, man, what's up with all this fucking George Bush shit? Your buddies with George Bush? I didn't have the balls.
No?
I wanted to ask him. It's when he became George Bush's buddy.
Is there anyone now that would startle you or make you starstruck?
Yeah, a lot of people.
Really?
Man, for sure. Yeah.
Anthony Bourdain. Because
you meet everyone, right?
I got weirded out when I met Anthony Bourdain. That was a few years back, but I got weirded
out. He's at all the UFCs now, a lot of them.
That guy trains jiu-jitsu every day.
Wow.
He trains jiu-jitsu every day. He does two-hour classes every day. He does an hour of classes all over the place, even when he's on the road.
Really?
He was rolling in Budapest, Hungary.
I'm a bigger fan of him.
Put a picture of him on Twitter with his fucking white belt and a gi showing up at this fucking jiu-jitsu place, at Carlson Gracie's place.
Wow.
He told me they were doing all Top Game. He said he was shitting out bone fragments.
God damn.
He said they all have old school Carlson Gracie Top Game.
Oh my God.
He said, I'm shitting out bone fragments. That's the message he gave me.
So you were a little starstruck with them. Who would you be starstruck with, though? Because you see everybody.
I got starstruck when I met Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he knew who I was.
Oh, he did?
Nice to meet you, sir.
Dang. Oh, my God.
I was like, what's up, dude?
I got that dinner
enjoy
with him.
Your
I'm
work.
So starstruck.
Fuck, you're doing
really?
A very good job.
I was like, Arnold's a UFC fan. He's a UFC fan.
Yeah. Wow. Arnold's one of the... I mean, yeah.
That was a big one. That was a big one. If I met Clint Eastwood, even though I think he's a silly bitch, you know, that thing he did with Obama when he's talking down to him in a chair, it's still Clint Eastwood. I mean, he's a crazy old man now, kind of.
It's Clint Eastwood,
still
dude.
Clint Eastwood.
You give him his props
Outlaw
right now.
Outlaw Josie Wales.
One of the great movies, period.
Son,
Dying ain't much of a living boy. Yeah. Oh, High Plains
Come on,
Drifter.
Son. Come on, son.
I got to be honest with you guys. I'm a lot younger than you.
Yep.
Clint Eastwood's not that big of a deal.
Well, oh, dude.
I know.
If you're
I know it's a shame.
Yeah. If you're a fan
Million
of films,
Dollar Baby.
Though,
Million Dollar Baby.
Unforgiven?
No,
did you ever see The Unforgiven?
That. No, I didn't.
Dude.
The good, the bad, the ugly. It just goes on and on.
Yeah, no.
It's a different time.
I'm way younger than you guys.
No, it was before our time, man.
Yeah.
And Clint Eastwood's old as fuck, dude. Don't try to put it in
his
character.
He's old as fuck. But in
he
his heyday, you guys
Dirty
were.
Dirty Harry?
When we were kids, when we were like little kids, Every Which Way Was Loose.
Ugh.
Every Which Way But Loose was the big
yes.
movie, which meant that he was already so old he wasn't doing the cowboy movies anymore.
Yeah.
He was like this old school bare knuckle boxer.
Killer.
Dude, back in those days. Oh my God! He put his girlfriend was in every movie. He had this chick Sandra Lockhart.
Yes,
was that who
yes,
she was?
Yes, with the blonde.
She was in every fucking movie he did.
She's right? a
every
beast.
Movie he did,
Dirty Harry.
That was his girlfriend. The motherfucker had this one girlfriend who was an actress.
Every movie.
And he put her in every movie.
Amazing.
Every movie was him and his girlfriend until they broke up. And when they broke up, like part of their breakup was that he had to get her some sort of a development deal. And then she sued
Hell
him.
Of a deal for her.
She sued him because she said that like. Allegedly, I should say this is all allegedly. I'm reading this online. It could all be bullshit. But she thought that he was blocking her movies from being made. And,
damn.
Yeah, it was like it was an ugly
he
breakup.
He composes
man.
His own music, all the jazz and those, all the music, the scores.
Anymore.
Sure he does. He composes in what's the movie? High Plains Drifter. That's his score.
Have you
really?
Seen interviews
you
with
sure?
him lately? Have you seen interviews with him lately?
Well, he's very old now. I don't
That's
know.
What I'm saying. He did American Sniper. That's what they say. Or was he on set and
no.
they just gave him credit?
No, he directed it. You know, he's not so old that he can't do that. He's amazing, I mean, that's dude. What
he's not all up movies. In there like freaking. Excuse you me. Think he's all
Excuse
up
me,
in
sir,
there?
Sir, sir, are you American, right? Mind your P's and Q's about Clint Eastwood. Do me a favor. I'll
you hated on Chris Kyle, motherfucker.
Well, I think he lied.
You guys didn't lie.
Hold on a second. It's not hating on someone to tell the truth. It's hating on the rest of the population to pretend that truth doesn't exist and to not take those facts into consideration when you're discussing a story.
I get that, but he's the greatest American sniper ever. Mm-hmm. Whether he's lying or not, that's true.
Okay.
Those are facts.
Okay.
What do you know about that?
I know what America tells me. What do you know about Clint Eastwood directing American Sniper? What do you know about it for sure?
It's a movie.
That's what they tell us.
And it's a good movie, according to some people.
It's a great movie.
I haven't seen it.
You want me to tell you what happens?
Ari Shaffir fucking hated it. I have a video of Ari Shaffir and Tom Segura arguing. Tom Segura says it's amazing, and Ari Shaffir says it's retarded.
I listened to Ari on your show hate on it. Yeah. He's fucking crazy.
Well, it sounds like join ISIS. If what he said was true... Does he not have a point? Was there a rubber baby that was, like, obviously a rubber baby?
Yeah. Not really. Whoa. Not really. I thought it was a real baby. Not really.
It was a real baby.
Jamie, you have something to say to him?
I don't go to the movies and be like, God damn, that baby looks fake. This is ridiculous. Hmm. Clint Eastwood, come on.
That is splitting hairs.
Well, that's just one thing. I mean, Ari
that's
had
the
a bunch
least
of
my worries look, when I go to the movies.
The fakest baby. The fake baby?
The fake
okay,
baby.
Let's see
guys.
The fake baby.
That looks real.
Hold on, we'll see. You just saw it for a brief second.
If you're staring at the baby,
okay,
you're
here's the fake
crazy.
Baby. Right now, it looks like a baby. I'm
you're
cool with this.
Miller. I'm
this
really
seems
cool
fine.
With that.
This seems fine. I'm not really paying attention to it. Okay, that was it.
And your boy Ari's hating on it.
No, there's more. Apparently, there's some real fake baby shit going on later. Oh, here it goes. Okay, that's fake as fuck. Look at his thumb.
Oh, come on.
That's fake as fuck. It doesn't look, you don't.
That's like going
to notice
fake,
it.
Baby. That's like going to Jurassic Park. And being like that T Rex, man. I'll tell you what, that thing's just
look at
not
this.
Real
come on,
enough.
Son. That's not ridiculous. You're being dishonest. You don't think it's ridiculous looking at his thumb moving
Aww,
that rubber baby?
They
didn't
baby.
Show that. Yeah, that's from the set. That's from
so
the
mean.
Set.
No, it's
son.
Not even. That's a joke. That's someone being silly. They're joking around because it's a fucking rubber baby.
Oh, come on.
Look, the baby can only work a certain amount of hours, and they got union rules for babies.
So it's a bad movie because that baby looks fake?
I had to work with babies. It's a pain in the ass.
Listen, I don't think it's a bad movie because I didn't see it. But I definitely don't think that just, look, I don't want to pay attention to the baby, but apparently the baby was only one issue. Ari thought the acting was terrible.
I didn't see the movie.
The movie was implausible. Was ridiculous.
Wow. I was just disappointed that I found that he lied a lot about certain things.
I don't.
And I think that's a bummer.
Fuck. Mm. He still is the greatest American sniper ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's a weird thing to say though. Like you don't give a fuck. So you were not willing to.
I'm
like,
overlooking
give Anderson
that.
Silva a pass on doing steroids for a broken leg.
That's interesting.
That's interesting.
I'm giving Brian Williams a pass though.
Yeah, that's true.
You're very inconsistent.
That's me.
That's so weird. But it's like
we go with the wind.
There's kind of like a
that's
blind.
That's my entire career.
A blind patriotism to that, right? Like you recognize that he's the greatest American sniper. So all the other stuff you just don't want to talk about.
No, I'll talk about it. But him being a great American sniper is the biggest thing. That should trump all of it. Yeah, he lied. He didn't take out people during that,
Katrina.
Whatever he said. Katrina. Yeah, he didn't do that.
He also didn't beat up Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, I know. Cool, man. But you killed 160 terrorists. Yeah, I'm cool, man. I'm going to overlook some of that shit. You're still a great American.
They're both true. I mean, if it is true, I don't know what's true, obviously. I'm talking about interviews and people's books and all this different shit. I don't really, unless we were there, we really don't know what the fuck actually happened. Yeah. But they can both be true. Like, I've met people that were movie stars that were also tremendous liars. I mean, I don't want to name names, but the dude was a movie star, and he's a tremendous liar. Just makes up stories about all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And you would never believe. You're like, this the stuff you know is just a complete fabrication, things that never happened to him. And the guy's worth millions and millions of dollars.
But one thing we do know is he was a Navy SEAL, mm-hmm. and he was a sniper who killed a lot of people for America.
Right.
He risked his life for America.
But hold on.
So he's okay with me.
Hold on.
For sure, relax.
Yes, he went through Bud's training. Yes, he became a Navy SEAL. Very difficult to do. And he's really good at killing people. That's a skill set as a sniper that I'm sure takes a lot of things I don't know about. I don't think that necessarily means, and I'm sorry to say this, and that means he's a good guy. I don't think that necessarily means that
heroes aren't good guys.
It doesn't mean he gets a pass for lying and making up stories about not only killing looters in New Orleans who are stealing stuff, which is already illegal and considered murder under the laws of this land.
But he didn't do it, so.
Well, but that's what he was saying he was doing, which is very strange. I haven't read the book, so I don't want to talk too much.
You haven't read the book or the movie. All you do is know his name.
Let me play devil's advocate here, just as a person who, like, let me just be completely objective. Take a wild shot at this. Now, this might not be the case, so I'm just put that out there in advance. What if he decided to tell all these tall tales because the book would be better? And he wanted to sell a book and make a lot of money selling a book. And he didn't understand the kind of media storm and that these stories are going to be checked and double checked. And what he decided to do was add a bunch of fabricated shit to a real story because, you know, first of all, he's probably psychologically damaged from shooting 160 people. Like, I don't think you get away from that for free.
No.
I don't think you go to war, and I don't think anybody rides for free in war. I think you take in a lot of psychological damage. Everybody says that. So it could possibly be that the guy just said all that shit because he wanted to sell books. It's possible.
And is that crazy? Does that make him a bad guy? Because
I don't know
the U.S. government's not paying him very well, right?
When he gets, it's a good point.
He's not making much money.
Sure.
So he fabricates these stories. His book is a New York Times bestseller. Yeah. He gets all this money. Mm-hmm. Is that
bad
of a deal?
It's all possible. All I'm trying to say is this. I don't know Chris Kyle. I don't know anything about the guy. I don't know if he's a bad guy, a good guy. I tend to be pretty patriotic.
Well, you know what he did for America, though.
So usually he gets a lot of leeway with me when you're a soldier and you went to Iraq and you did all that stuff. Yes, for me that's how I am. But I do think that I still have to, at least like what Joe was saying, when it's found out that you made up these stories, that's kind of a bummer for me. It's just disappointing that he did lie about something like that.
I don't
that
give a
sucks.
Shit. Trying to sell books.
And for whatever reason.
It could very well have been that he was trying to sell books. And it could also very well be that we were talking before. Maybe we need to understand a little bit better, since none of us went to war, what kind of mental toll that takes on a person, and that you kind of shouldn't expect them to be completely fine with everything when they come back. And some of them are going to make shit up, and maybe they're making shit up because reality is so fucking crazy that they don't want to deal with it anymore.
Or maybe he thinks it's real. Maybe he had a situation where he was in New Orleans and he thought about shooting, didn't happen, but he goes to war, something happens, he's like, did that happen?
Yeah. Well,
it's good for the book.
Right. And no one could understand what the fuck that guy's life was like except for him. No,
yeah, I agree.
And it's not even giving him an excuse. What we're saying is we're just looking at the possibilities.
Right.
Like, instead of saying, hey, this is a guy that was full of shit and he lied about that and he's a bad person.
Right.
Like, this is a guy that was forced to do some anti-human shit for the government.
People are complicated. You and I have talked about this. People are complicated. A lot of people, we know certain people that are high-profile people that get criticized a lot and they're hated on. And you know them pretty intimately, and it's like, yes, they've done some things. They're also complicated people. They also do incredibly good things for people that nobody knows about. So there's no question that people generally are not black and white. They have a bad side. They have a good side. Mm-hmm. I know I do.
Yeah.
I know I do. I know I have a lot about. I know a lot of things about myself I'm not that proud of. So it's
this
not
is black
to say
and
that.
White. This is very black and white. If you didn't like the film American Sniper, you're a fucking terrorist.
Brendan,
this is easy.
Brendan.
Ari Shaffir is a Jew.
That's what they should
you're
do.
No Jew
at
terrorists.
Airports, they should. This is how they should check if you're a terrorist or you have a bomb. Did you like American Sniper? No. Go to the right. Did you like American Sniper? Yes. Go to the left.
What happens when you go to the right, though?
You don't get on the plane.
Damn it, Brendan.
Ari Shaffir would chew you up if you guys had this conversation.
Bring
he
it,
gets,
son.
He gets so angry.
Bring it, son. I get angry, too.
You want to hear him ranting with Tom Segura? It's hilarious. The two of them together. I got to eventually put this online. But they get so fucking in each other's face about it. They're like yelling like it's something like really important to talk about.
do think it's important to be charitable about just how complicated human beings are. Yes. It doesn't mean you don't call somebody out online.
And the bar, just so contrived and awful.
The fact that they didn't show him getting shot was actually a good choice. You
2 hour and 17 minute movie, and then at the end, they're like, he was killed that day in writing.
Listen, you communist fuck.
I'll play the whole thing. I'll put the whole thing up on Twitter somewhere.
Listen, you communist fuck. That's Tom Segura.
That's Tom Segura. They go at it for like 10 minutes.
So
in front of the ice
he was
house.
Mad that at the end they don't show him getting killed.
He was mad about everything. He thought it sucked. He brought a bunch of people from his Twitter feed to go to the movie and heckle. and they all went.
What's
and they filled, they filled the audience. The entire audience.
I would have got arrested.
Beaten him up.
They'd be like, UFC fighter beats the shit out of Ari and his friends during American Sniper.
Not the time to get arrested. This is not for you. Don't do that.
Nah.
Beat up a bunch of chubby
Chris Kyle
Canadians.
Forever, son.
Chris Kyle forever.
You're a terrorist.
Hey, man.
Terrorist.
I can be swayed.
Did you see the movie?
I didn't. I haven't read the book or anything.
He knows nothing about it.
I know nothing. I only read, all I've read is that I looked at all the stuff online, and I was like, well, it's interesting. But I haven't read it. I don't know.
That's a credible source.
I haven't formulated an opinion on anything.
That's super credible.
You got to think that when someone has killed that many people for the government, they give them a green light to kill that many people, and to kill 160 people. Yeah. Like, the idea of, like, telling a lie about something, it's, like, really no big deal.
Well, that guy killing 160 people, doing all these tours, you know, in war, should get $1 million from the U.S. government for the rest of his life. He should be financially set for the rest of his life.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Like, how much do they actually get when they retire?
My buddy's Delta Force was Delta Force, and he said that I heard, and I don't want to say online, but it's so pitiful. It's called hazardous duty pay. Mm-hmm. You don't make any money. You don't have enough to live. And if you go through a divorce, half of that money goes to your wife.
Oh, in your personal life, you're fucked because their divorce rate's like 96%.
It's not cool, man. Well, they should definitely get more money.
It's the stress. The same with cops. Yeah. Stress. That stress is insane. It's like it's an unprecedented level of success of stress. It's so hard to deal with.
It's also really hard when you're a sniper. I don't know this, but I do know that a combatant can be even a child running munitions to a mortar. And if that child's doing that, or a guy's looking at you with binoculars and trying to get a bead on your position, you take him out.
Yeah,
that's hard.
It's war.
That's hard for a soldier who gets command. Take that guy out. Shoot that kid. Shoot that woman because she happens to be somebody.
Chris Kyle had to do that. If you watch the movie,
and it sucks.
The word "hard" is not even. It's not a good enough word.
No.
It's not that it's hard. It's almost impossible. It's almost impossible to reset from that and be a normal person.
Yep.
Without some help.
I'm sure.
Without some.
Yeah, you go from doing that to fucking walking through Radio Shack with your wife. Yeah. What?
God.
What the hell?
Yeah. That's why, you know, all these guys coming back from war, that's one way to make America a little bit more polite, running into a bunch of people that just got back from killing a bunch of other people. Because, like, people have a different attitude when you've been to a war. There's a different mentality.
Yeah.
And we have to respect that. And I think we have to consider that. That's important as a culture, as a society that sort of wants to gloss over war and wants to glorify it and make it out to be this John Wayne shit.
Yeah.
We have to look at what the fuck is really happening to these people psychologically.
Absolutely.
The same thing with cops. Everybody wants to shit on cops because cops occasionally do bad things. And for you that have been done wrong by these cops that couldn't handle that job, I 100% feel for you.
I feel bad
for
the cops.
We also have to consider the fact that being a cop is this insane job. Some people become fucking insurance salesmen. Some people sell cars. Some people become artists. Some people become cops. And you're out there and you're fucking pulling up to you're pulling sideways. A guy's shooting a rifle out of a fucking window and taking people out. You got to figure out how to sneak into the building. You're calling the SWAT team. You're hiding behind your car. You're hearing fucking bullets bouncing off the street. Cops have to deal with some insane
shit. You're getting shot at.
And they don't have much experience. A lot of them don't have much experience.
And you know how few of them know how to fight?
Yeah,
that was the thing that always shocked me when I would train with guys who had been in police officers, and they didn't know how to fight. I'm like, this is insane. Like, you don't know any jujitsu? You don't
horrible.
Know nothing?
Horrible.
Like, if you get in a scramble with somebody, what do? Do you know how to get out? Like, they don't know anything.
Yeah.
They freak out.
You could sign up for being a cop. You could be a cop, and you have to just be in reasonable shape and not completely insane. That's it.
Yeah.
They get in trouble because they get put in these. Listen, I'm not defending all cops. Some cops are scumbags. I get that.
No doubt.
But in general, they're good people. And they get put in these situations
where. Well, I think in general, all people are good people.
I agree.
Most people
But then
are
you
good.
Get put in these situations where they have no experience. They don't know if this kid's going to shoot or not. So, like, dang, my life, his, they shoot. And then there's this big uproar.
It's similar to what we were talking about earlier with referees. If referees make a mistake, you're making a mistake, and a guy is going to take some fucking punishment because of that mistake. You're not designed to handle those high pressure situations. Or you're not qualified because you don't understand martial arts, or you're just not good at your job. Like, for whatever reason, not focused, whatever the fuck it is that makes you fuck up. But if you fuck up as a referee, it's way worse than if Bruce Buffer fucks up as an announcer.
Yeah.
If Bruce Buffer mispronounces Brian Keelan, you know, you're like, oh, God, damn, that's not my name. It's not that bad. You know what I'm saying? If a cop fucks up, someone gets shot and dies, or he gets shot and dies, or he sees someone get shot and die that he could have prevented. All that stuff is too much for people.
It's a tough job.
It's too much. And to have that go on day after day, what do you have to look forward to? When you're 25, they give you a watch? What the? And you look at all the friends that you've had along the way that have blown their brains out or drank themselves to death or fill in the blank, done all kinds of crazy shit.
My buddy was a SWAT team sergeant, and he said he knew he had to get out when he was sitting down next to a body that they had shot, and the coroners were doing all their investigation, and he started eating a sandwich, and didn't occur to him. He was like, I'm sitting right next to a body, and I'm this not phased. I've become so numb to my job.
The view of cops, too, it's not like, most America's not like, oh, hell yeah, cops, man, sweet. Right. Most when they drive by, most people, especially the ones I hang out with, are like, man, fuck cops.
Americans don't like authority. That's how people are. Americans always have a problem.
Well, it's a tough gig,
man. Interesting article that I put up the other day that, again, I don't know if it's true, but it was that this town in Texas hired a private security firm, and crime dropped by 61%, and that with no financial incentive for there to be crime, because they were just compensated for their job, for what they do, for the hours on the job. They found less crime. They also patrolled areas that had the most crime instead of just arbitrarily deciding where people went based on whatever the fuck it was that they had decided on before. They targeted it, like, very tactically. And they cut back on crime by 61%, and it cost less money.
I'm confused. So they hired a private security agency.
They fired the cops in 2012.
Right.
They fired the cops. They said, this police force is retarded. Yeah. This government police force sucks. Yeah. We're gonna hire our own security force. We're gonna vote to do this. So they decided to do this. They hired a security firm to become cops. And because these guys don't have the incentive to write tickets, because they're not getting it actually costs less.
Yeah.
It costs them less. It costs them less, and there's less crime. They're not getting as much revenue from it, but they're also not arresting people for fucking nothing. So it's gonna adjust the attitude of the people that live in the city. They're not gonna be upset at cops all the time, because they're not gonna think that cops are just trying to pull people aside because they have they have criteria they have to meet. They have quotas they have to make.
Which is insane.
They did the same thing with road signs.
Jamie, see if you can pull that article up, because it's on my Twitter feed. It's pretty fucking interesting.
There's an intersection in Holland that's really, really busy, and the guy took all the road signs out, and because there were a lot of accidents, said, watch this, I'm going to take all road signs out, and people figured it out on their own. And he does this experiment where he puts his hands behind his back and walks backward into the busiest intersection, and of course never gets hit, because people figure out how to navigate that crazy space on their own.
For sure that guy's going to get hit. For sure that guy's
retarded. Well, see, he hasn't.
Terrible story.
And I was there.
It's not the best story.
That's a terrible story.
Look at this.
I was piggybacking.
61% SEAL Security Solutions. They hired a bunch of fucking people that were former SEALs and shit.
Oh, well.
And they gave them a job.
That makes sense.
Of course it makes sense. It's fucking smart,
man. Those guys have experience.
Look at that.
In high-stress situations.
Reduce crime by 61% in just 20 months. You know, and also then you're not going to deal with the militarization of the fucking police
department.
And this
is legit shit?
Yes, it's legit shit.
Or is this written up by the Operation of the Seals?
I don't know. I'm just reading what I'm reading online. I've done very little actual research out in the field. I didn't take any plane trips down there.
Not
on the ground.
When you privatize an area, it tends to be policed better a lot of times than if the government has
right,
to
but
it.
Now this is where fucking some Alex Jones shit comes up. This is what you want, America. You want former military guarding your streets, holding a gun to your children's head, and who do you think who do they listen to when the shit hits the fan? FEMA, goddammit. You got plastic coffins out there in the field. I've seen them with my own eyes. We're the guy with his babies. We support our troops by hiring many employees who have served our country.
Dude, I'm not mad at this at all.
It's not bad. It's, look, if it works, I think that there's a lot of things that they do better when you take out bureaucracy, when you privatize them,
yep,
when you offer them an incentive to be successful, and when they have the support of the community, because the community actually likes them.
Yep. For
sure.
That's
possible.
A lot of times they live in the community, too.
Those are fucking sloppy, out of shape cops.
Yeah, for sure. Need give me three out of shape.
Yoked up, roided up dudes. Yeah. You ready to take care of business.
I want three Ronnie Coleman's just jacked. Ain't no one doing shit.
Yeah. I would go like more of a thinner, but like Ian Freeman.
Yeah.
Ian the Machine.
I'm with
Freeman.
You, man.
Damn, I like that they have dogs. I like those big canines. They can smell out anything.
Yeah,
man.
It's a good idea. Use canine. You look, they have bomb detection, drug detection. Look, boys, drop the drug detection. All right. Let's let that slide.
Yeah.
Let it slide. Shit.
But I think that, I think there's a lot of things that could be taken care of better by the private sector. Like, that's what you see with education.
Yep.
I mean, you get a way better private education in most schools, where you deal with really high level private schools, they're going to have a better education than the best public schools.
That's about incentives, man. It's about incentives.
The teachers are more qualified at the private schools, right?
A lot of times, there's some really good public schools out there. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But if you had to look at them all per capita, like what's going to be the most formal education? What's going to be like the most comprehensive education? There's a lot of people that have a lot of money to take their kids to private schools because they think that their kids are going to get a better education.
College, too. You look at the private universities, man. Those are the beasts.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about universities is that people can get scholarships if they prove, you know, academically that they're superior, that they're excellent.
Or
athletically. Those are good things, too. They get an opportunity. But, you know, privatizing shit. Well, that's the thing that I had that guy on the podcast. The fuck is his name? Peter Schiff. Very, you know, financial genius. And he was saying one of the big problems with college is the reason why it costs so much is because it's all subsidized by the government. Mm-hmm. And because it's subsidized, these fucking loans have these ridiculous interest rates and everybody gets roped in this incredible payment that they get stuck with. You get saddled up in debt before you even get out of school. You get out of school, you already owe tons of money.
You also have to have the good thing about privatization is you can innovate according to your circumstances. A lot of times when you have top-down, you know, a bureaucracy telling you what to do, regardless, it's hard to innovate. It's hard to move. You see it with huge corporations versus smaller companies. You got to be able to change with the times.
You know where I'm torn, though, man? I think every kid deserves a private-style education. Every kid deserves it. I know it doesn't. It sucks. But I think that's where the problem is. I think every kid deserves the best possible education. But we said, like, the best way to make America great. Everyone's like, let's make America great. Let's guard our borders and keep our criminals out. This is the best way. Make less losers. Less losers.
I agree.
Put shit tons of money in the community programs and education and counseling and try to help people that are in bad situations. People that got a shitty
That's been society's problem from day one.
It always will
be. What do you do with the people that not losers as in you're a loser, but the losers in society, the people who don't get a piece of the pie? That's always been the issue. It's the issue with the Middle East.
We're never going to solve that.
It's the biggest issue with the Middle East. You got a group of people who have no young men, angry young men, nowhere to place their energy, and you want to go through the list of why? Fine. It's essentially governments that are not representative, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a major problem. What do you do about it? What do you do about it?
I think what you do about it, if I'm obviously not a fucking financial planner, but if I was, if I had a look at the country, like far as allocation of resources, tax dollars, and you know how much money do we have, what do we spend it on, I would say let's triple, quadruple, even more the amount of money that goes into education. And anybody who wants to go to college should be able to go to college. The idea that you could go to college and get saddled, and it sounds contradictory from what I said earlier because the best schools, a lot of them, are private today. But still, I still think that the public education should be so much better than it is now, and being a teacher should be worth so much more. It should be like a very prestigious position that's difficult to get,
unless
and should be worth a lot of money.
And you may not need more money.
Even a PE teacher. What about a really good one? What about a really good PE teacher that teaches you about physiology, about explosive, fast twitch muscle fibers that shows you how to get better at sports?
What about the one that teaches you like kickball and fucking?
Why do we
soccer?
Have to have that though? Why
it's awesome.
But why can't you have that kind of shit? Well, you have a little kickball game with kids, but you also explain to them this is what's going on when you're getting tired. This is what's going. This
That'd
is the
dope.
Food you eat has a different effect on the way your body performs.
Right, and
this
a lot of a lot of
cardio.
It doesn't take money.
That'd
a lot of it sometimes just takes a change in approach.
Give
it
them some
does.
Fucking money.
They've given
There's
a
teachers
lot of...
out there that get paid 50 cents an hour.
There has to be a standard, though.
Reallocate
the money. There has to be a standard,
money.
Right?
Yes.
Reallocate
yes.
the money.
It there has be to be a standard. You can't have
standard.
Every dumbass
well,
in
think
school,
about,
private
like,
school.
It's not easy to be a doctor, right? It's fucking really hard. It's really hard. You got to go to school.
A lot of schooling, yes.
A lot of fucking education. A lot of education. It's difficult. Most people fall out. They don't hack through it.
Big
it
commitment.
Should be like that to be a teacher. It really should.
Finland has probably the most, like according to a lot of ratings, the best school system. They don't test. I think they have one test a year. The teachers are responsible to a large degree in making their own curriculum. They don't have this core curriculum. Everybody has to learn the same thing.
You better have some good teachers, man.
More importantly, they pay their teachers, and their teachers have a great deal of esteem in the society. And Finland's school system is always outperforming almost every other country. And when I had the guy on who wrote this thing called Finnish Lessons, a book, he said, I don't even like talking about rankings because that's already the wrong way to look at it. And the problem with testing is that that's what happens is you, instead of focusing on understanding, and the other really interesting thing is he said, we focus on teaching people how to solve problems as a group. Because if you think about it, you do a lot of that when you work in a corporation.
You have to test at some point.
Because if the teacher's always, for, let's say they're teaching for a year, yeah. and it's like, well, let's see if these kids learn anything. Well, no one's learning anything. You have to test at some point.
You learn, well, actually, they do because they have to rely on each other to solve problems. So they'll give them a problem, and then they'll kind of let them solve that problem. And they try to mimic as closely as they can the real life situations and problems that they're going to come across when they are, for example, working for a company like Toyota or Nokia. Hmm.
I don't like just that. I don't like that new age teaching, man.
Why?
It's not new age. It's more practical.
I think it's more practical. Yeah. I think you still have to have history. They still have to learn all that stuff.
They do. And they do have testing, but not nearly as much.
Oh, so they do have some testing.
I think they have two tests a year.
Well, you said no testing.
Yeah, for the most part, they don't. But that's just Brian Callen,
the way he talks.
Yeah.
No, I said no testing.
I said
they have kids just afraid of shit. No, I said they have one test a year, maybe two tests a year.
Well, there's a lot of people that do think that you shouldn't have that. That shouldn't be your incentive to get a high score. Your incentive should be to absorb knowledge. And then it becomes confusing.
That's what stupid people say.
Well, it becomes a competitive thing. Like, my daughter got a 98. My daughter got a 100. Sorry.
Right.
I bet you competition. Smart.
Man, you need competition. Sometimes it's like sports too. It's like, you know, you can't play tag anymore. You can't play dodgeball anymore.
Well, they don't want losers in certain games. My daughter played softball and no one lost.
That's ridiculous.
I'm like, I watched people
fuck
lose.
That noise, man.
How come no one lost? But there were four and they're barely hitting the ball. And
you're
not getting,
I'm the dad keeping score. Yeah. 1-0.
That's real life.
2-0.
That's real life.
Janine, you're out. Yeah, get the fuck. Well, you only get three swings.
They don't learn that losing's okay because that's how you try harder because it feels bad to lose. Like, no one wants their kid to feel
bad. That's life.
Everybody wants, exactly.
Dude.
You're preparing them for life.
That's Calabasas shit, man.
It's not Calabasas, dude. This is not going on out here. This is going on across the country.
Fucking
it's little kids, the way they
shit,
treat little
not
kids.
Not Aurora, Colorado.
You
struck out and got made fun of.
Well, today,
Calabasas, it's
I
all
bet,
good.
I bet there's places today in Aurora, Colorado, and all over the country that employ these ridiculous ideas. I don't think it's local.
I don't know, man.
Life is basically, I think life is, if you look at your life, life is working really hard to get to accomplish something and losing to a degree anyway.
Life is about failures.
And learning how to navigate
that. Well, those
that
failures
keep
are what motivate you to never feel that shitty feeling so it gets you off your ass.
Yes.
That's why people who are born rich or they win the lottery early, they're fucked.
That's why we hate those people.
The motivation just slides away.
Yeah,
you know, there's very little motivation if you're already wealthy.
Dude, it's hard for me to relate to a dude who just grew up super rich and he's never had any struggles. Yeah. It's hard to sit down and have dinner with that dude.
I feel bad for them.
Me too.
Yeah. I feel bad for them.
Because they have no idea.
Especially, you know any friends that are rich that were raised by like their nanny and shit?
Oh, yeah.
Where the mom and dad are both working 20 hours a day and no one's ever home and they're fucking weirded
they're
out.
Lost,
man.
They're lost, man. You see a lot of that.
Oh, yeah. Those rich guys who are surrounded by yes men and they come up like wearing a shitty holiday sweater and you're like, nice fucking sweater, and it ruins his night. You know, like, no one ever hangs out with these guys, man.
No one ever busts their balls.
Yeah, no one ever busts
their
balls.
That's so true, man.
Sweet new haircut.
Angry. That's so interesting.
If you fuck with
oh, it ruins their night, bro.
Dude,
we
were playing a whole this silly game, like running charades, like a group of us, and I made fun of the guy's boyfriend, the girl's boyfriend. We said, that's not a word. He had some stupid, like, movie. And he dropped... He dropped the hat and threw his hands in the air and went off in the balcony. And we're like, what? This
Guess
is
what?
Awkward.
What?
He went out and sulked, and his girlfriend goes, he just gets really sensitive. Well,
not my friend.
I'm going to have to smack
not my
that
friend.
Guy in the mouth.
That's what happens when you don't keep scoring shit.
I was on a sitcom once, and this guy was ad-libbing to something. It was an actor. It was a couple comics and an actor, and the actor tried to ad-lib something, and it wasn't funny at all. And we stone-faced it. We were like, what? Like, he just wanted to try something different. How about I say this and that? But it was really, he was not a bright guy. And I remember we just looked at each other and we're like, no, I don't think that works. He throws the fucking script up in the air and
they
storms
well
off the set.
It, man.
All we said is, I don't think that works. You tell that to a comic, they go, yeah, something fucked up about it, right?
Kidding?
You tell it to even a lot of funny people.
I told
just
that to
people
Brennan.
Have good senses of humor.
We started laughing so hard. Brennan pitched an idea for this thing we're going to do, and I was like, oh. And then, let me guess. Then I go, let's get out of here. Was that your end? I go, that's
I couldn't stop laughing.
I was like, that's not funny at all.
I couldn't stop laughing.
And we do all that, but we bust each other's balls. The only thing I won't stand for is if you guys make fun of my taekwondo. That's the only thing I put my foot down.
Yeah, it's not good.
You're lying.
Have you ever gone back and read your notebooks from like your first years of comedy?
Sure have.
Dude, I have a notebook from when I was driving limos. I found it the other day.
That's amazing.
Must have been awesome.
It was unbelievably bad. I should have quit.
I bet it's awesome, though.
I can't believe I kept going.
Me too, bro.
I should have fucking retired. It was so bad. Like, my ideas. And to this day, like, sometimes I'll write ideas that are dog shit. But I write the ideas that are dog shit hoping, like, man, there's something fucking something there.
Let me just write it down, right?
Like, a half a concept, and then I'll sit down and start working on it.
Yep.
So it might have been that, but more likely I was just a 21-year-old retard with a pen.
Nah, you gotta start somewhere, man.
God, I want to tell a story, but it'll make me sound bad.
Mm. Too late.
Ah, damn it. All right, I'm just going to tell it. Don't judge me.
2 minutes ago.
This better not be someone else's story.
I was in Jamaica. I was in Jamaica. I don't do drugs. I'll smoke weed.
Is this the getting high in Jamaica story again?
I know.
Lindsay Lohan in Jamaica.
A few times.
See, I don't want to tell it now.
No, go.
All right.
If it's someone else's story, I'm going to punch you in the dick.
I don't condone.
Try finding it.
I don't condone cocaine use at all. I was in Jamaica, and somebody gave me some. I may or may not have done it all night.
Wow.
And I wrote all night and kept waking up my girlfriend, who you know, my old girlfriend, and telling her what amazing bits. And she was like, I was like, and God's a Rastafarian. And I was high. I was doing lines and writing. And I looked at my notes, and it was basically one long bit about God being a Rastafarian. And I thought it was the greatest thing I've ever written in my life. And it was just fucking chicken scratch. And the motto of the story, kids, is don't do cocaine in Jamaica, because you are never going to write anything funny.
Brian Callen would be appearing at some club in Lexington, Kentucky, with way better jokes than he just slung.
He's going to have a Rastafarian God joke for you, Kentucky.
This is a setup. It's one of the best bits ever.
Best bits ever.
He just wants you to really lower your expectations.
I'm your creator.
Exactly.
Everything going to be all right.
The Fighter and the Kid podcast is kicking all kinds of ass. You guys got to be happy about that.
Yes,
you guys are storming the fucking sports charts. You're the only thing that's on sports that's funny. It shouldn't be a comedy podcast. You're cheating by being on sports. You know that, right?
Yeah. This is bullshit. We barely talk about sports.
Yeah. You guys need to move over to comedy and talk about sports occasionally. Because if people think they look for funny shit, they miss you. Yeah. They might miss
you. That's a good point.
Yeah. Because
that was Fox's idea to do sports.
You gotta cut that tit.
I'm gonna have to break off that.
TheFighterAndTheKidShop.com. We're killing it with merchandise.
Kill it with the merchandise.
Go buy the shirts. Go download the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes.
For sure.
For sure.
I'll tell you my story if you do.
Yeah.
A bonus. Yes.
Brennan Schaub on Twitter. Brian Callen on Twitter.
B-R-Y-A-N.
That's it, you dirty fucks. Tomorrow, Bert Kreischer. See you then. Until then, much love. Big kiss.
Peace.